welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. I think we're going to play a round of what can Adam complain about after our first commercial break. So if you want to call in and line up things that might be difficult for some to complain about, I find to be a layup.
Can you complain about that, that we're going to play that?
Wow. I feel like I could, but I feel like it'd be like what happens in all movies where they build a time machine and they say, if you travel back in time, you can disturb nothing or you'll throw off the rest of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I never fully bought into that because, I mean, according to those movies, you go back and you step on a salamander or you break a tree branch and all of a sudden the rest of the universe is thrown off from that point on. Seems like we do a lot of that stuff in real time every day. And I don't know. I don't know if anything happens other than, something called the greenhouse, I guess.
Well, what would happen if Adam Carolla had never existed? What would the world be, do you suppose?
A little sadder. A little sadder.
Less mirth.
Less mirth. Marginally less mirth.
Do you think the world would be different?
No. But here's my point. I don't think North Hollywood would be different. But the point, my point is I can't play the game on the game. I might implode. It's
right.
A snake eating its own tail.
Right.
Candace Michelle is coming in. She's the GoDaddy girl, also on this month's cover of Playboy magazine.
Got huge cans.
Ooh la la.
They may not be real.
I'm
going out on a limb. Well, I could build a time machine go back and see if I could find out whether they're real or not. She's a WWE wrestler, so she'll be in here. Again, what can Adam complain about? We'll play that. Oswaldo. His gut's real, I'll tell you that right now. And rock hard. I'd like you to punch his huge, protruding gut
today.
That's
a weird thing when people... Some fellas have that.
Yeah,
it's made a muscle, it seems like, yeah.
Jimmy's cousin Sal has that. I say it's a bad... It becomes an enabling force for them, though. It's a bad sign. You think it's a good sign, it's a bad sign, because the guy's 5'4", he's 203 pounds, and his gut's slopping way over his pants... And you say, oh, this kid's getting fat. And he goes, come on, punch it. Come on, punch it. And you go, all right. And you hit him in the stomach, and you go, wow, that's hard. I guess I owe you an apology. And he goes, that's right. Now give me the rest of your sandwich. And you think to yourself, well, maybe it's not good. It's just encouraging. Meanwhile, he's got a triple chin and the rest of it. He's morbidly obese. But the fact that he can make his huge belly hard for 3 seconds out of the day enables him just to keep eating.
He's
Houdini or he's some sort of bodybuilder or something. Because you always do that. You go, hey, man, you're fat. And you go, I'm not fat. Punch it. Wow, that's hard. Okay, I guess you just look and seem fat. But you're not really fat.
Foodini.
You're Foodini.
You know what I have? I have a weird ailment. I don't know if it's an ailment, but when I eat, I get like a snake. In that, you know, like when a snake eats, you can see the mouse in his body.
Mm-hmm.
If I eat, my stomach just expands, except you just see a giant pastrami sandwich hanging out of me.
You can actually see.
I
want to see it. It actually is the shape of a pastrami sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
maybe not that. But I mean, you get a huge pregnant belly.
You can tell the difference between pastrami and turkey, let's say.
Yeah, I think
wow.
so. Yeah.
Wow, let's try that. Actor John Cryer, former neighbor and actor John Cryer.
Everybody was your neighbor.
I know the last guy we had on from Friends
and
Family or Sons and
Daughters.
Yeah. He, by the way, now as I think about it with the sitcoms, I'm officially... filled. My mind is officially filled. You know, we grew up, it was, well, you had to memorize Welcome Back, Carter, Happy Days, and I Dream of Jeannie. You know what I mean? Now it's like, he's the guy from just too close, hanging with close quarters, hanging... You realize now it's weight, according to's and things. We're saturated. Our kids will never know a place where everyone knows the sitcom. Our kids will constantly be going, that's the neighbor guy from, can't take the, to get out of the, to, get barely, damn it. That's why our kids go, see, we used to go, hey, it's A. Arnold from Happy Days. It was so easy. It's the guy from Bewitched or whatever. So there's a hand. There's about 15 guys we had to memorize. That's the WKRP from Cincinnati chick. No, not the blonde. The chick with the glasses from WKRP in Cincinnati. You knew their names. I mean, you knew their sitcom names. You had it all worked out. Now it's just one big hanging according to ask your mom. And then all this sort of not now, I'm working, or don't bother me when I'm eating. You know, like a bunch of the ones that lasted 6 months. The ones that got a huge hype but only lasted 4 or 5 episodes, but they got stuck in your head because of the hype. And they haven't been on the air for 4 years, but they got pushed really hard. It's on. It's over. I got no more room in there.
Hey,
it's all gone.
Can I bring something up? I
want the
to
trouble
speak.
With crazy. That was John Cryer's last sitcom
he's been
before
in a million, yeah.
Two and a Half Men. And it's just I'm all filled up. I'm topped off. And like I said, our kids will never know a day when they can just trade sitcoms with their friends like we used to do.
It's a sad future.
Sad.
It's a stark future that awaits.
Yes.
Hey, I was thinking last night, you know, there's a, you just mentioned Happy Days. You know, a lot of fads are started on the sitcoms on TV shows. Fonz, a lot of people started getting leather jackets. Jennifer Aniston, all the ladies in the 90s started doing their hair like her. You know what's a weird one that never caught on is Laverne's L.
Yeah.
No one ever wears a letter, and it seems like it'd be
not
a fun
enough
little
people
signature.
Named Laverne, I always
just
thought.
A letter, and I've decided somebody should do this. Somebody should start wearing the letter on their shirt like that, and I've decided that person should be Jim Brusca.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be
Producer
awesome
Brusca.
If he had a J on everything he wore?
Starting tomorrow.
That would really heighten the criminal sort of looks he's got.
I want to bring back Shazbot. By the way, as you know, it's been a long time dream of mine to bring back Shazbot when things go bad. And I'm also, you know, everyone remembers the haze and the woes and the sit on it and the, you know, in your nose with a rubber hose from Welcome Back, Kotter, and all that kind of stuff. Those are the ones that made it. But the one that always intrigues me is Joey, cousin Joey from Too Close for Barely, Hardly. The one with Cool Ye. The hell is that one?
John Stamos.
John Stamos, yeah. Full House. Stamos had Lord Have Mercy. That was his thing. But he only said it about every fifth episode, and they would never really commit to it. That was his catchphrase, Lord Have Mercy, when a hot chick would come in or something. But they didn't take a page out of Fonzie's book, which is you have to hit it early and you have to hit it often. You just have to hit it. You bring it up 9 times for the first 50 episodes, and he never did it. It was just once. It was a half-assed attempt to launch one of those isms or catchphrases, and it never really caught on. But he gets half a point for Lord Have Mercy.
Well, you should bring it back. You could be the 2001 cousin Uncle Joey. The other good one.
I like to bring Shazbot back, too, first, as I said.
I like, as I've mentioned before, when Mr. Roper, in the middle of an episode, used to turn to the camera and smile. That was a dynamite one. Yeah. And Lenny and Squiggy, I always liked the biting the hand when they saw a fox.
Yeah, that was always funny to me,
let's
too.
Let's bring that one back.
Yeah.
When this WWE girl gets in here today, let's bite our hands.
Candace Michelle.
Appreciation.
Yes. All right. Well, what have we learned? We've learned our kids are going to grow up in a world where they can't remember any sitcom names because
sad.
There's just too many of them. And are they even going to have that one they can look back on? You know what I mean? Like you have these ones where you can wax nostalgic about because you're like, oh, I love that one. You know, because there's only a couple of them growing up. I mean, who didn't see in a certain age range, who didn't know Love Boat? You know what I mean? Now there's going to be, your kids are going to be going, oh, did you used to watch The Crumbs? And then everyone in the class is going to go, nah, I didn't see that one.
Life on a Stick?
No. Didn't see that one. No, never did. No, but
it's sad because it can define you.
Everyone knew
who
Captain Steubing was from The Love Boat.
Of course. Every picture for a 2-year stretch between 77 and 79, every single picture, I am giving the A thumbs up. Every single picture you can find of me. Me and my sisters, everyone. I even like, don't do that, David. Like everyone, like you just see me sneaking it in on that.
Wow, he must have really loved his bar mitzvah. Look at him. All right, we are going to take ourselves a little break. We're going to play a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About, and we'll do that after this.
901 ADAM.
We're now going to play a spirited round of what can Adam complain about. Later on in the show, John Cryer, one of the nicest guys in the world. They live next door to me. I know it seems like everyone lives next door to me.
So Ozzy brought...
Ozzy brought
pastries, but he brought me a chocolate and chocolate with peanut donut because he knows I like them.
All right.
Could you do that off the mic?
Now, what do you like more, that or your love of distraction and sound? The pastry or the noise? What is it?
I just think it's ironic that it's Rachel eating the food loudly when Tad is in the studio. Mm.
Yes, very ironic. All right, well, take it out of the noisy wrapper it's in. And Ozzy will not live until everyone else dies. He really won't. Until everyone gets as fat as Ozzy is built like a jukebox raped a fire hydrant, and he was the product. He was the bastard product of the raping that took place by the jukebox and the fire hydrant. That's how he's built, like a Mexican fire hydrant. He's not even Mexican.
Get him in here.
I know, Nicaraguan. Nobody cares. And by the way, you're wearing my T-shirt. Every time Ozzy shows up, he's wearing one of my T-shirts I gave him. Ozzy, come in here. Let Rachel hit you in your hard, distended belly.
He's a jukebox that only plays ranchero music.
That's right.
Yes. Can I wind up and really hit him?
Well, I'm. It's hard. I didn't know. I didn't say his belly was strong. I said it stuck out and it was hard. Let her feel your belly.
Ozzy. Can I punch you in the stomach?
He's a Mexican Buddha.
Ozzy,
rub his belly.
Rub the belly.
Make it hard, Ozzy. Impress the ladies.
It is hard.
It's rock hard, right?
It's solid.
I know. Meanwhile, he's morbidly obese, but because he has the hard belly, he doesn't stop eating. He brought in 60 pounds of pastry as he brings in every single morning when he comes in on this show. I appreciate it, Ozzy, but we're white. We can't get fat. It doesn't look good on us. You have the dark, swarthy skin. You have the mustache. You have a nice cleft in your chin. You can get as fat as you want. Let me tell you something. If you have dark skin, a cleft, a hole in your chin, and a mustache, feel free to pack on 90 pounds. It doesn't matter. No stash, no cleft, lily white skin. We can't get fat. White guys, when we get fat, we start producing milk. You understand? Look at Big Tad over there. He's a mess.
Don't try to milk me.
Tad, right. Now caress Ozzy's belly.
Okay, this is getting weird and gay.
This is the worst gay porn I've ever watched, and I have watched many.
Ozzy, go eat another churro out there and wait for us.
Okay, Aaron.
Okay, Ozzy. Nice job with my name. All right, now.
Ozzy, of course, a part of the Blue Ribbon panel that is going to be making NCAA predictions.
That'll be great.
I've got mine. I just finished mine.
Candace Michelle's going to come in here, the GoDaddy girl, and a couple of few. Also on the cover of this month's Playboy. Actor John Cryer, Ozzy's going to do his reviews. And we are going to play now a round. And let me just give you the backstory of this. As my wife can tell you, I'm a world-class complainer. I've always been able to complain. I can complain about good stuff. I certainly can complain about bad stuff. I realized the heights of my complaining when about 3 weeks ago, I bought a Ferrari on eBay. Now, not an expensive Ferrari. It was $33,000 was how much this car cost, which, again, not cheap for a used car, but probably about the price of a new car. And it was supposed to be delivered on a Friday. I waited the entire weekend. It was a 3-day weekend, the one we had about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it didn't come until Monday night, and my entire weekend was ruined because my Ferrari did not come. And then I realized, wow, what can't you complain about? And I realized nothing. My Ferrari was 2 days late, and it had destroyed my entire weekend, probably my month. So we decided to, take these lemons and turn them into lemonade in a game called What Can't Adam Complain About? Thank you.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
People, thank you. People call in. I have no idea what the topic is. We've not discussed it. I will go to the phones blindly. And we'll play What Can't Adam Complain About. Ben?
Good luck, Adam.
Thank you. Ben, go ahead.
Adam.
Corolla, okay. What's I could start complaining about that chant I started. It all started because I wanted to change the pool game kids play Marco Polo from Marco Polo to Adam Carolla. And 6 months later, I'm going to kill myself.
There you go. Look what you did.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson, the great running back. Well, I was a Rams fan back in the day, of course, and he ran it up. But he had a horrible attitude, and he had a crazy Jerry curl, and he ran. See, he didn't look like he was trying. That's why he got no respect. Whereas Barry Sanders and where's Sweetness, Walter Payton, looked like they were scratching and clawing for every inch they made it closer to pay dirt. He just ran up and down and seemed like he wasn't trying very hard. Meanwhile, he ran past people, but didn't burn enough calories. Ultimately, he's not making it in the Hall of Fame, even if he's made it in the Hall of Fame. Ben, thank you.
Which he is. He was too apathetic.
I'll have him removed. Way too apathetic as a running back. And he was the only running back in the league that wore a toilet seat around his shoulder pads and protective goggles. I didn't like that. And it's a good, no, but here's a good point. This brings us to a much better point. People loved Walter Payton. He was beloved, and people hated Eric Dickerson, even though Dickerson probably could have gained more yards than Payton if he just stayed with the Rams. Certainly would have been the NFL's all-time rushing leader, probably most likely, if he stayed with the Rams for the rest of his 5 years or whatever in the league. But he never looked like he was trying, whereas Payton just looked like he was scraping for every millimeter out there on that field, and therefore he's loved for the effort. Mm-hmm. That's why this country is great. James, how say you?
Morning, Adam. How are you?
Morning. What's up?
How could you possibly even think about complaining about the sizzling hot new porn releases?
The porn releases?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what. I don't like today's porn lady. Big Tad will join me on this one. Tattoos, aggressive hood piercings, shave clean, yes, spitting on everything. It's like, hey, honey, you ever heard of lube? You'll go use it. Here's some KY. Stop luging on everything. And the guys are all shaved, and they have the tan sacks and everything. It's just weird. It's too angry. I call me old fashioned, but I miss the old sort of, well, I like to call it rape light scenarios. Oh, please. Oh. And then she would start liking about halfway into him making out with her. Dangerous message to send, by the way, to the kids. Don't worry. Just start kissing the chick and put your tongue down her mouth. 5-10 seconds into it, she'll give in and then perform oral on you. But, yeah, I miss those. I don't like all the tats and all the weird. Everyone looks like Cruella DeVille on Speed now. I don't like it. Thank you. It's enough of that. I'm old school. Steven?
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
How could you possibly complain about your Ferrari?
Well, I can because they're temperamental. It has four carburetors, and they all have to be synced up.
Come on, man. You got a Ferrari. I mean, I would give anything to have a Ferrari.
I know, but then you got to worry about it, and then you got to insure it, and, you know, you can't let the wife or the dog near it, and then you got to put a cover on it. It's just more responsibility. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life. I'm glad Enzo's dead. I got to be honest with you. Enzo's the guy. Yeah, it's the guy who found a Ferrari. Seth.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
How could you possibly complain about the Adam Carolla?
Oh, that's easy. That's, I have the nasally tone. I have hair growing out of my ears now. I had a hernia surgery about a year back, and I think I'm getting another one now. I feel a weird shooting pain on my right nut side when I get out of bed. I'm a mess. I'm tortured. And I think I could have done better in life. I really do.
But you're Adam Carolla.
Okay, fair enough. One more.
Not ask his
I'd
rodeo.
Like to see a more, a more positive sort of spin on that. Like, there's not another one of me to marry or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could marry myself and then have a delightful honeymoon. Jeff.
Hey, how could you possibly complain about John Cryer's acting ability?
Wow. Well, John's a good guy. He lived next door to me. I used to watch him walk his dog. And by the way, I say a dog under 9 ounces is not a dog. We must come up with another name for it. sort of a rat, sort of a cat, sort of a possum, but not a dog. It insults people that like dogs. He used to drag this dog on a piece of fishing string down his street, and the dog, literally, it was like him just dragging. At first, I thought he was just dragging a tennis shoe behind him that was tied to a piece of filament. So he's a fine actor, but a horrible pet owner. I'm hoping we'll get to the bottom of it. He got divorced. We'll get to the bottom of it. I'm hoping it was his wife or ex-wife's dog, because this is no dog for a man. No dog for a man.
I have one that I think would be interesting, because I enjoy them. Down pillows, you know, really good, nice pillows.
Let me tell you, this is it. This is my life in a nutshell. This is why. Now, what could Adam Carolla say about down pillows? I have down pillows. I love down pillows. Nothing better than a down pillow. How can you complain? Right. Here's how I can complain. I go on the road a lot. I do a lot of stuff on the road. I stay at a hotel. It does not have a down pillow. I get the weird foam one that the hooker was killed on only moments earlier before I came into the room. So here's what I can complain about. Yes, I love down pillows. Yes, I have a down pillow. Yes, I got used to using down pillows. And that's what my right ear is used to hitting at night. And then I travel. And then I get the weird space foam. And now I'm miserable. That's how life works, everybody. You get the good stuff, and then it gets taken away from you. Thank you. Speaking
maybe
of down,
one of those creepy guys who takes a pillow on the road with him. Grown men.
I've been known to do it. Yeah.
No.
You look like a real winner going through the airport. You might as well just put your pajamas on and walk through the airport at that point. It's like, oh, this guy's high on Ambien. Tackle him. He doesn't know where he is. He's going to try
it's
to fly.
Michael Jackson.
He's going to try to fly the plane. Speaking of down, the turndown service at the hotel, I don't mind. I don't mind going out for the night and coming back to find that they've dog-eared the comforter and put a mint on the pillow. But what I don't like is when I get the phone call when I'm either napping, masturbating, or both at 6:30 in the evening. Bring, hello? Hello? Mom? No. Would you like the turndown service? Really? You had to call and ask me if you wanted to send someone of color up to my room to peel half a sheet off a corner? How about you either do it or you don't do it? Don't call me and give me a heads up on something I have no interest in. Please. And what kind of pompous ass says yes? Yeah, listen, as a matter of fact, this is my second night. You guys didn't call the night before, so I slept on top of the comforter. I couldn't figure out how to infiltrate it. It was like some sort of huge cloth hymen I couldn't penetrate. I don't know how. Yeah, come on down, really. Because I froze my ass off last night. Now, let me get this straight. You guys come and separate the box spring from the mattress, and then I slide in there? No. It's just the comforter on, just the spread on top. Well, listen, the point is come on down. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to subscribe to a service for my house. Oh, you want to know? Let me tell you something. Here's how you know you've arrived. You know, people, oh, they have a private plane, they have a yacht, whatever, that pool house, whatever. You've arrived when you have a turndown service at your home. Imagine that. Imagine how impressive it'd be. You invite a few friends over, you hang around a little dinner party, all of a sudden there's a buzz on the front door. Oh, who's that? Another couple? No, that's Delia. Your maid's coming? No, it's turndown. Your maid, 9 o'clock? Yeah, she comes every night. Comes every night at 9, turns the bed down. What? Just cracks the... Yeah, flush the pillow.
She walks in with an economy-sized box of mints under her arm.
Yeah, it costs a little extra, but I like it. Some people have florists. I have a turndown service. Wow, home turndown service. Write that down. This is going to be huge. All right, I'm tapped out. Big Tad?
I have one for you.
Yes.
Real, real big boobs. How can you complain about those?
Well, when they're attached to you, Tad, it's nauseating.
To women.
Well, you see, you didn't make it clear.
I'm sorry.
And I already pictured you in my mind's eye.
Ruined it.
Yeah, speaking of turned down, my penis just got turned down by that. Now, where were we, Tad?
Biggest Loser.
Biggest Loser, that's right.
Yay!
Yeah, Big Tad
well
is
done,
going...
by the way, with the complaining, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Big Tad.
Gold medal again.
Big Tad is... he auditioned, or at least he spoke to the Blue Ribbon panel that decides who gets on The Biggest Loser, the television show The Biggest Loser, last week. You put together a videotape.
Yes, I did.
Now, you do the part where you... How long is the videotape, by the way?
It's probably about 5 minutes.
you put that together and then you present it to the panel, the casting directors and producers and so forth, right?
And the executives over at NBC.
Right, and then we'll see if you can make it to the next level.
Yes.
Now, if you make it past this level, are you in?
I think they drop it down to the final. I think there's 12 more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like 24 right now, and then they drop it down to the final 12.
And they're looking for compelling stories.
Yes.
Because there's plenty of fat guys in the world, but they're looking for someone with a backstory, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we've obtained the tape you made, Big Tan.
Oh, you got it.
Yes, yes. And as a matter of fact, the DVD version's already out. Complete with director's commentary.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we have that. Can we play that, Preska?
Hey, I'm Rob Frazier, and welcome to the director's commentary on Tad's Biggest Loser audition tape. We had a lot of fun making this. This scene in particular, I remember, this is Tad showing off his fridge. Now, we had to do 8 takes of this because Tad kept eating everything. I mean everything. He had an ice cube tray. Come on. Oh, here we go. This is Tad showing off his neighborhood restaurants. As you can see, this is a hometown buffet, and that's the manager locking the doors, and those are the employees running for cover. Okay, now here's the big finale. Tad showing his bedroom. Now, that poster above the bed, it's a ham wearing a bathing suit and a Farrah Fawcett wig. Funny note, that's not a bed. That's just a pile of Chocodile wrappers. Hope you enjoyed this.
Really?
Wow. Tad. So cruel.
Funny.
So sad. I had no part of that.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Good. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you went to all the trouble to having someone direct your audition reel, though.
Yeah, most
people just trying to keep
that.
It real. Yeah.
All right. So, Tad, you did finish that.
Yes, I did.
And I guess we'll hear the actual one at some point. Yes?
Yes.
All right. And when do you have to have that turned into the producers?
By next week.
Oh, really?
Next week, yeah.
All right. All
try
right.
to get that done, Tad.
It's going to be done.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. We're going to take a break. Candace Michelle, this month's GoDaddy girl.
No, we didn't get to review Tad's ridiculous new tattoo.
No, we got that. John Cryer's coming in. Ozzy will be in again. All that coming up after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carl Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901 Adam. Candace Michelle, the GoDaddy girl. Also, she's in WWE wrestling, and this month she's on the cover of Playboy.
I'd like to see how much bigger than my head one of her breasts is, because I don't have the biggest head.
No.
They called me pee head in high school.
Keto cabeza, as he calls it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Small bean.
Nobody called you pee head.
They called me pee head in high school.
Yeah,
I don't think it had the
spelled it P E E. They called me S head in high school. That was different though.
The worst part was that in my high school yearbook, when you know you have like nicknames and you write your quote or whatever, they even misprinted pee head and wrote pie head.
Your high school yearbook and the yearbook council officially recognized the title pee head?
Yeah. Well, they have you fill out all the things that you want, like quote, nickname.
You're
you
lucky
know,
your nickname wasn't N Lover. Because that would have been a tough one to travel through time with, you know? Especially, you know, when you eventually get married and your new husband wants to take a look at the memory box. Oh, what do we got? Ooh, your sophomore N Lover. The hell? I'm not sure if they would print that, but in Canada, who knows? You know, they have different sensibilities over there.
It's true.
All right. Where were we? Dave's now eating. Here's what Ozzy does. He breaks down your resolve because he brings into the studio all this beautiful Danish. And there's something about getting up at 4 in the morning that really screws you up. Everything bad for you, everything sweet, everything salty, everything greasy, it all sounds good at that point. You know, when you get up at 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning, an orange or an apple, you just want to throw it at whoever gave it to you. You really just want to chuck it. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. And here's we should put together a list of things we've never had a bad one of. For me, it goes croissant and then BJ. Those are my lists, and then I'll keep working down. Point is I've never met a croissant that wasn't good. And you could go to a fine French restaurant and get a great croissant, or you could just go down the street to the Denny's and get a croissant. I don't know how you can F up a croissant. I've not met the man who can do that yet. They're all good. I know Ozzy's not going to the Benish Bakery on Fairfax and paying top dollar for his croissants. I'm sure he's going to the Mexican bakery down in South Central. Either way, they're delightful.
Same thing as pizza.
It's tough.
Lousy pizza, you know, it's just relative. It still is edible. Even bad pizza is decent. No?
I hate that crappy, thick crust.
Unless you get thick crusty. Unless you get too thick crusty, and then you just end up chewing cud sort of the whole time. But I will modify your statement and say I've never had thin crust pizza that's been effed up. Even the cheap, even the Domino's, delivery, whatever. If it's thin, it's in. Wow.
Ooh.
Nice. All right, so... P-Head is over here, along with Dave Sandwich Damashek. Christian, our resident young comedian, is on the phone. Yes, we're all fans. Christian?
Yep.
I like when pompous celebrities and athletes do this. One day you'll be taking my job. One, but I would sooner kill you than see that happen. And let's face it, you're going to burn out in a few years anyway. There's no way you're all taking my job. But you're only 13 and showing quite a bit of promise in the comedy department. Now, here's how all this started. A few months back when we started the show, Christian called up and he told us a joke. And I think he may have called back once or twice after that and told us a joke. And we said, well, you got good potential, but start doing observational stuff. Start doing your own humor. And he started doing his own humor through the eyes of a seventh or eighth grader. And it's delightful.
And then you raised the bar last week and you said, instead of the priest and the rabbi jokes, the observational. And then you said, now stop going off the script and just let it flow.
Write it down. Commit it to not memorizing it verbatim, word for word, but just understand what the joke is and then free yourself up and tell it to
us.
And
Adam is a benevolent king. He's now fast tracking Christian to the stage. There's a potential gig at the Improv out here in L.A. that may soon happen for him.
Right.
Jeff Ross, comedian, is going to take him under his wing.
Yes.
Show him the ropes. Very exciting stuff.
All right. So what do you have for us this week, Christian?
This week I have one on the bumper stickers, like the my child was student on the bumper.
Good. Yeah. And you potentially could be one of those children, right?
No.
Oh, okay. But at least you're of the age. Go ahead.
I hate those bumper stickers that the school gives to the parents. My child got honor roll. My child got student of the month. They use them to raise the self-esteem of the kids who earned it, but in reality, they're just lowering the self-esteem of the kids who didn't.
Yeah.
My mom and I were on the freeway once, and I slightly glanced at one of these bumper stickers. And in the corner of my left eye, I just see my mom glaring at me. And I said, what's wrong? You ever get one of these? Nothing. Nothing at all. 2 minutes later... It's just I see those bumper stickers on the road all the time, and I want one. It's a bumper sticker too much to ask? And I told her very politely, Mom, you'd get the bumper sticker if the people who were giving them out weren't so picky.
Yeah, they have standards.
That's true. I wish I could make them. I'd make them for all the grades. My child got presidential. My child got honor roll. My child attended class. Most of the time. I even made one for those kids who repeated the grade. Well, third time's the charm.
Huh? That's
that it?
That's good.
We got to figure a little out for you. Like, hey, thanks for the time. You guys are great. Something like that.
I've got detention. I'll see you later. I made him. Oh,
wow.
I feel special. I made Christian laugh.
P-Head made him laugh. Well, here's the thing, Christian.
Yeah.
Solid, although I've heard more solid work out of you, but I like it.
Well, thank you.
I think it's a good topic. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is I remember when these bumper stickers came out, and I remember a lot of the stuff when you're talking about it. I have thought about it, heard other comedians talk about it on occasion, but nobody through your perspective, nobody's sitting next to their mom on a freeway when they see one of these things. That's the interesting part about your act, and that's the part you can never forget. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, nice job, Christian.
His hottest material to date still is the, the Goldilocks and the Three Bears stuff.
Yeah.
That was solid gold.
Classic.
I should be your closer.
Yeah. So call us back next week. We'll keep going. I think he's up. His act must be up around 8 minutes by now. We could we could tune it a little bit. All right, let's see. Brusca, we don't have to go to break for another 4 or 5 minutes, right? All right. I want to tell a little story, if that's the case, of John Cryer, who's coming in here, reminded me of something, a story that happened when his movie Pretty in Pink came out. Molly Ringwald, the whole Ringwald tribe, used to live down the street from me when I was a kid. Well, not really when I was a kid. I lived, my parents got divorced when I was about 7 or 8. My dad lived, I was going to say in a crappy apartment, but that was later. First, he moved in with my mother's parents in their 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom that you had to walk through their bedroom to get to house in North Hollywood because he was too poor to get to flop in his own 1-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood on Laurel Canyon. And by the way, you know, sometimes you do that timeline thing. Your dad's a doctor, so you don't have this problem. But Rachel, I'm sure you could have some fun with this, where you start realizing there's a certain point in life, Christian is not at this age yet, where you realize, here's how old my dad was when I was this age. Here's what he was doing. You know, I was 4 years old. He was working here. My parents were still, you know, it's weird now. It's one of the weirder things when you become an adult. You go, geez, I'm 40. So when my dad was 40, he was doing this and I was here and blah, blah, blah. My dad, let's see. I can do some vague math here. But basically, my parents got divorced. My dad was probably 41. Roughly the same age I am now. He got divorced, and they didn't even get divorced. They just split up because there was nothing to whack up. The paperwork for the divorce was probably $111, and, you know, nobody was going to belly up to that bar. And there's nothing to divvy up. They had nothing between them.
Who gets the weed?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you take the roach clip, I'll take the bong, we'll go our separate ways. They were both living in a crappy second house that my grandmother had bought years earlier in North Hollywood to rent out for like $5 a month and decide just to let my mom and my dad flop there, probably taking pity on them. So there was no mortgage and there was no first and last or anything. My dad just got in his old VW and started driving down the road. Problem is, he had nowhere to go. He didn't have enough, evidently. And, he, you know, my dad never had a credit card or, you know, savings account. None of the Corollas. No one had a credit card or first and last or anything. These aren't fresh out of high school or just graduated from colleges. People in their early 40s. He went to my grandparents' house, again in North Hollywood, because we had the place corners, the Devil's Triangle for Corollas. Literally, 1,200 square foot with 1 bedroom. I said 2. I was being generous. 1 bedroom. He slept in the den and 1 bathroom that was in their room. And he stayed there for the first few months until they eventually sort of pried him out. And he got a crappy 1 bedroom with that funky porn carpet on Laurel Canyon in deep North Hollywood. But he must have had to save up, and the rent must have been, you know, $90 a month or something back then. But he must have had to save up the $180 for the first and last to get in there. But that was the first place, and then a succession of other crappy places. But eventually moved into a decent place, again in North Hollywood, but still was decent. And that's where the Ringwalds lived. They lived down the street from us. And their story is amazing. They came from Sacramento area. They didn't come for Molly. They came for the older sister, Beth, who I had a wild crush on, who was the big star of the family.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow,
yeah.
That's interesting.
And they have another son who has nothing to do with showbiz, and then another son who was like a prodigy. The kid played the banjo and sung in the band and did all that stuff and then died tragically of some disease when he was like 4 or 5. Hmm. And the dad is blind. And the dad plays the dad plays Dixieland jazz and has bands. And it is currently lived in this crappy little house up the street. We got to take a break, but I'm going to get to the rest of this story because I went to
I didn't get
anywhere. But I went to the Pretty in Pink premiere with my buddy the Wheeze, and the hijinks ensued 20 years ago. So we'll get to that. Then we'll get to news. Then we'll get to sports after this.
Now it's time for free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, Russell and I have been living together for 2 years. The problem is he and his best friend Whitney have been emailing back and forth, and I have discovered some things I'm not comfortable with. Russell uses my pet names with Whitney and says he would be lost without her and that he loves her. I know they aren't having sex, but their email suggests that he's cheating on me emotionally. I love Russell and don't want to lose him, but I can't handle this anymore. Please help me. Devastated in Iowa.
They're devastated. It appears Whitney is carrying a torch for Russell, and he has a soft spot for her, too. My advice is stop hiding the fact that you've seen the emails and clear the air. Make the email Exhibit A. Tell him you snooped because you feel threatened. And then cross your fingers. Russell's response will tell you where you in your...
That's a shame.
I have no idea.
What happened?
Will you? I can't go on until I know the advice.
Someone go find Lights Out and figure out what he was going to say.
Maybe that was it. Maybe that was all he had to say.
Well, he is a man who does let his fist do the talking, so maybe at a certain point his hand started talking.
He realized that midway through.
Yeah. So why blabber on? Who am I, Dave Damashek? I let my fist do my talking. James Toney's going to be fighting Haseem Rahman, by the way, coming up this Saturday. Should be a good fight in Atlantic City. All right. Where were we? That didn't turn out the way we wanted it to.
Your story. Your Molly Ringwald story.
Yes. So... I move on to Hartsook Street. There's a very attractive sounding street. Hartsook Street out in the same house I rebuilt on the TLC program I did a few months back. And there's the Ringwalds moving in down the street with beautiful angelic Beth. She was the older sister of Molly, probably 2.5 years, maybe 3 years older than Molly. They move in, I'm 15, she's 15, and Molly's probably 12 at the time. Now, they move here from Placerville, California, up north, I guess around Sacramento area. And they move here really for Molly's, I should say, for Beth's career. She's beautiful. She doesn't really look anything like Molly. She's blonde, and she's the best-looking 15-year-old girl you've ever seen in your life. Just one of those angelic blondes that's just flawless. And she's going to do some TV movie called, like, Thunder Island or something, where an all-girl band plane crashes on an island and she's playing the drums. I mean, really something out of a movie. And all of a sudden, Molly starts getting a little work on Facts of Life, and then she does Annie. And before you know it, Beth is just an average, 17-year-old senior in high school. And Molly's on the cover of Time and Sports Illustrated and National Geographic in the same month. Yes,
brutal.
And Ebony. I know. No. First redhead to make it on the cover of Ebony magazine. That's right. Yes. And Milken and Poppin'. There was no magazine that didn't have her on the cover. Yeah, and it was tough and kind of freaky. I mean, think about if you and your sister or you and your brother moved to some town to focus on your career, and all of a sudden your kid... person you'd been, given noogies to is on the cover, literally, I think, of Time and Life magazine in the same month when they're like 16.
Well, what is it you say about teenagers fulfilling their dreams or losing out on their dreams?
Yeah.
Or not?
It's a bitch is what I say about it. So now she's a big time. I still have a wild crush on Beth, although it's unrequited.
Oh.
Sadly, unrequited love. Scared to make a move, although my buddy Kenny is not scared to make a move and swoops right in on her and begins dating her. She ends up breaking his heart. Little sidebar, 25 years later, they're married and living in North Carolina.
No.
But hooked up a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so her first boyfriend at 16, and he's a high school senior, goes off to college, ends up being a doctor, gets married, moves away. 20-something and three divorces later, 20-something years later, now they're married and living in North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like stories
like
that.
I'm still in North Hollywood. I'm sure they're miserable. My point is Beth goes on to do that. Molly goes on to become Molly Ringwald. The dad, who's blind and plays jazz, taught me a valuable lesson in life, though, once. He said to me, there's two things I love, Adam. We're just standing in the backyard by his pool. I said, what's that, Mr. R? Because that's the way we did it back then. He said, I love jazz and I love comedy. I said, wow, I love jazz and I love comedy, too. And he said, that's right, Dixieland and Gallagher. And I thought, wow, thank you for that lesson in life. That's very important, what you just taught me, Mr. R. Because I hate Gallagher and I hate Dixieland, but for a minute I thought we were simpatico.
Fortunately, since he's blind, he couldn't see you vomiting.
That's right. So, what happens? Now, back to the story. It's 1986. Pretty in Pink has come out. Of course, we go to all the Big Molly premieres because we're old school friends with her. We're part of her posse. And her premiere is going to be at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, and then it's off to the Palace, the legendary Palace. Now, the Palace is an old 20s or 30s Art Deco club out here in Southern California that it's where they filmed the movie Against All Odds with Jeff Bridges and Rachel Ward. That's the club that the whole movie takes place at. Anyway, we go over there, and it's free booze. Now, I'm living with my buddy the Wheeze in an apartment on Laurel Canyon again. In what city? Does anyone have any guesses?
North
Hollywood. Yeah. I'm going to try calling my buddy Don. I'm sure he'll be asleep. Are we in 323 here? Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Now, you said earlier the Wheeze isn't a huge fan of the show.
I will give you $500 if he's listening. All right. Or a wink.
Perfect.
I want to play that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my mom's listening.
See if they're.
We can't get the phone right now.
All right. Well, that's his beautiful wife, Kathy. So maybe he's so enthralled with the show that he's scared to move away from the radio. But the point is, I thought it'd be a decent idea to try him. We go to the party, we get loaded because we're roommates and the booze is free and the foxes are running wild. And Donnie is going to drive my car home for me with me in it, vomiting out the window, but he's driving it back to the apartment. He's the designated driver. That meant he could only have 9 drinks. This is a different time. It's the '80s, kids. So we go there, we go to the Palace. The stars are there. Molly's there. The Wheeze is there. I'm there. I had, 22 Greyhounds, and then at the end of the night, the Wheeze cannot be found. He hooked up with one of his famous heavyset women and split the scene, and now I'm left S-faced at the Palace and have no idea how I'm going to get home because I can barely walk. Now, my car's parked up the hill in a bank parking lot that's deserted, and the rain starts coming down, and it's torrential, and I'm not using any hyperbole in this story. It is raining like it is punishing the scalps of those who are under the heavens. I mean, you know, there's the rain that falls, and then there's the rain that seems like it's actually pushed down toward terra firma, and this rain is just driving. Of course, I have no umbrella or anything because it wasn't raining when we left that night. And my car's up the hill quite a bit, and it's in a parking lot, and I pull my jacket over my head, and I had my nice suit on and stuff for the premiere, and I'm running up the hill, and the Palace is closed down, and it's driving rain, and there's my car in a parking lot, and there's only one other car in this parking lot with my car, which is a cop car. And it's parked right next to my car to the point where I don't think I could open my driver door without banging into the door of the cop car. And the windows are fogged over because it's raining so hard. And now I'm just standing there in a drunken stupor outside the Bank America parking lot, staring at my old Datsun right next to a cop car. Both windows fogged in to the point where you couldn't tell if anyone was occupying either vehicle, and just being plowed with water, just standing there thinking, what am I going to do? You know, that drunk freeze you get where you just stopped in your tracks for a while, just because it takes the wheels a little longer to turn in your brain, and you actually make a noise. So I'm thinking, okay, what do I got to do? Well, I got to get in my car because I'm being pelted out here. So I jump into the car, and now I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to look out the window at the cop car that's sitting right next to me, but I have no idea if anyone's in the cop car because the windows are fogged up. And I think, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to turn the key, and the second I start my car, the rollers are going to go on in the cop car because he has to wait for me to turn the key in order to give me a 502. Otherwise, I could say, I was drunk, I got my car, I lost my ride, I was just going to sleep it off in the car. But the second I turn the key, that's when he does it. That's when he hits me. And I just sat there, drunk, frozen, and wet. For an hour, just went, and he never moved, and the guys never came back, or they never left. Eventually, I just turned the key, started the car, sat there freaking out, drove out, and I still have no idea what that cop car was doing there, why it was there, or where they were. I drove home in a driving rainstorm, and I vomited in the bathtub, as I recall, because I like to break it up. Not always the toilet for me. punched a wheeze in the gut. And that was the end of my Pretty in Pink John Cryer, Molly Ringwald story. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Went on to lose my virginity to beautiful Beth, by the way.
Who did?
This man right here.
I thought you said...
It was unrequited.
Yes, I didn't go on to. You have to backtrack to talk about the virginity part. Yeah.
Wait a second. You made it like a sob story that Beth was stolen away by your chum.
He was, and I think she threw me a mercy F at some point in my career a year later or something. But it was.
Well,
not,
no wonder
not
Beth Ringwald didn't make it as big as her sister. She was too busy banging you and all your chums.
Well, how dare you? Yes. All right, so John Cryer, Ducky Boyle being here in the next hour. But now it is time for the beautiful pea-headed Rachel Perry.
That's pea-head.
Pea-head in the news. Oh.
This just in, Dave Damashek tries to spill water all over everything.
What was that?
Saboteur. It was an attack.
Saddam Hussein took the stand for the first time today during his war crimes trial, said that the people of Iraq should fight the occupying forces instead of fighting each other. And the judge keeps cutting out the audio and has now kicked all the media out of the courtroom so that Saddam can't use it as a political
platform.
Can we
just kill him? I mean, really, every two, he goes back to his courtroom, he brushes in a little, he goes back to his cell, I should say, he brushes in a little Just for Men, and then he comes back with another crazed tirade about, you know, the Bloods in the street running with the infidels and all that stuff. Let's just put a bullet in his head.
Well, talk about who we should kill is,
Pat Robertson, right?
Yeah, we've got our own kook here in this guy. It's good to hear that he's doing his best to inflame the discord that already exists with the Muslim world. You hear what he said? Mm-mm. Listen to this.
These people are crazed fanatics, and I want to say it now. I believe it's motivated by demonic power. It is satanic, and it's time we recognize what we're dealing with. And the goal of Islam, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, is world domination. And by the way, Islam is not a religion of peace.
Listen, you insane, like you lunatic. These are people who blow people up for making cartoons. We don't need this sort of talk out of you.
I know, but meanwhile, he makes one of these speeches, a couple innocent journalists get tires put around them and set on fire. It's never this guy. We'd be all right if it was this guy, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Somebody go get him. Forget about Salman Rushdie and go get Pat.
Yes.
I love all the use of, like, cliches. Well, whether you like it or not, these people are trying to kill everyone. What do you mean, whether I like it or not?
Yes, there are two sides you could take on this.
There's a portion that enjoys.
Sure.
Funny, I'm trying to remember what guest was in here a little while ago talking, and I know we always talk about Ambien and about the weird things it does to you. Who was in here talking to you about Ambien?
That was from number one single. That was
binges.
Lisa Loeb.
Oh, right.
Lisa Loeb talking about Ambien fueled binges. It's in the news now.
Yeah, I know.
And they're talking about people driving on Ambien, getting to work in the morning, like forgetting
lightweights
things. And also, there was a woman who, like, you know, people are like reporting waking up in the middle of the night, not even waking up, eating like all this stuff and like not even remembering it next day.
Well, I've taken a handful of those in my day.
Oh, you should only take one at a time.
Well,
you should take them all.
I mean, accumulation of a handful.
Oh, okay.
You take it and it shakes your mind like an Etch-a-Sketch. You don't remember the night before, but what you want to do is stuff that ain't good, and it's the worst of all worlds, because you take an Ambien and then at 1 a.m. you think, I think I'll finish off the rest of that pumpkin pie that's in the fridge. And then you finish it off and then you wake up the next morning and go, I think I'll have a slice of pumpkin pie. And then you open the fridge and you go, God damn it, who ate the pie? And then you belch up some pumpkin and you think, wait a minute, maybe it was me. And then you realize I got all those calories and everything and I don't even remember eating the pie. It makes you want to do a little binge eating. And the other thing it does is it just erases your memory.
It's like taking GHB and smoking a doob.
Yeah. And
basically,
if you're lightweight, you're screwed. Although I do remember I will supersize an Ambien with some booze, by the way, because that's what the heavyweights do. And I will, I remember seeing a doctor's report on it about a week ago, and it was saying, don't even have one sip of alcohol as I was washing it down with a little red wine. and finishing off a bottle of Chardonnay.
I've said it before. I've never taken it. I've said this before. Let's do a whole show on Ambien. And see what becomes of us. It's a social experiment.
Because you can do it. If you take Ambien and you force yourself to stay awake, that, I'm telling you, that's like a fun party time.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it.
Right now.
Maybe I can get laid.
Just see what happens. Damn, you'll have the best time. Let's do it.
Bring it. All right. All right. Yeah, it wipes you clean. And people that are lightweights, and there's a lot of lightweights out there. There's a lot of people that have a half a cap of a herbal nightcap or something and then pass out behind the wheel of their car and stuff. Lightweights, all of you. We got to get Dr. Drew on the show one day to give me a board certification on what a heavyweight I am. But I will take an Ambien and a half, have a couple of highballs, and have a four-hour conversation on an airplane. No problem at all. We'll have to test that out one day soon. Point is people have the Ambien, they sleepwalk, they get in a car, they get pulled over, and they essentially get a 502. Mm-hmm. Good times.
I like how you talk in police jargon with the 502s.
Well, I used to teach traffic school.
Oh, excellent.
By the way, are known as a perp where I come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to wrap things up with some rumors and some things that are not true rumors. First of all, Nicolette Sheridan, Michael Bolton engaged. Mm-hmm. That apparently is true. Jack Black apparently eloped with his girlfriend Tanya Hayden over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's rumored that Brad and Angelina are going to get married next week on a boat in Italy.
Mm, hadn't heard they were together.
No.
Had not heard that.
No.
He's not with Jennifer anymore? I watched the entertainment shows. I'm surprised. First to come up. Well, Rachel Perry. A scoop, everybody. Yeah.
More
baby bump. I hate the word baby bump, too.
I hate it.
Listen, here's all I'm saying, everybody. We cannot use the word that starts with a T and ends with a T to describe the woman's breast. You understand that?
Yeah.
Even though it's derived from the word teat. That comes on a cow, we cannot use that word because it's offensive to people. Baby bump? I'm offended by baby bump. I don't like baby bump. And it's like, well, it's not a swear word. Well, neither really is the word I just described, except for somebody decided we couldn't say it. And it's the same with baby bump, and it's the same with guys vomiting on a Survivor and having, you know, having all this disgusting stuff on television. Let's figure it out. Let's get a rhyme and a reason. I'm tired of talking about Angelina Jolie's baby bump.
Oh, that word just drives me insane. However, humps I do like, and now every time I'm driving and they show, like, the speed bumps and it says humps, that makes me laugh.
Yes.
And just quickly, a couple rumors that I heard are not true. Charlize Theron and Stuart Townsend apparently have not split up. Oh, apparently, Will Ferrell did not die in a paragliding accident.
Oh, really?
Just want to let you know.
Good times.
Apparently, there was a rumor. So, I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
The world of professional football turned upside down. Quarterbacks moving to and fro. Drew Brees and the San Diego Chargers are no more. Yesterday, Brees signed with the New Orleans Saints. Maybe just as well, though, given that he's got that gigantic mole on his cheek, mm-hmm. combined with the Southern California sun. It's a melanoma waiting to happen. It's best for him to go. It's a big deal, though, otherwise, because this would seem to suggest that the Saints are now no longer going to take Matt Leiner, USC QB, which in turn probably means he's going to get drafted by the New York Jets. I'm sure he's heartbroken that he is now no longer going to hurricane-ravaged New Orleans, and instead, as a man in his young 20s, a handsome devil, must now reside in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Poor dear. Also, Dante Culpepper, former Vikings QB, on his way to Miami.
Built like an action figure. That's Dante. How he's built. Yeah. Because, you know, when you see action figures...
You mean he has no real penis?
Yes. He has a flat piece of plastic where his penis should be. Oh, no, I'll bet he has a penis. My boys, when they do action figures, not of wrestlers, not of muscle men, but just action figures of regular guys like G.I. Joseph, their parts are a little too big. They have no waist, and their parts are too big. That's him. That's what he looks like. He's action figure man.
He is a massive hunk of man. Now, our nation's Association of Professional Basketball Teams, they also played some games last night. Among them, Phoenix and Seattle. Up in the state capital, Sacramento, California. By the way, if you haven't thought about it in a while, if you haven't thought about it.
Work on sandwich. When you've mastered the pronunciation of sandwich, then you can go to Arnold.
Well, that leads me to my point. If you haven't thought about it in the last fortnight or so, Arnold Schwarzenegger is still our governor. Just keep in mind. You want to remind yourself all the time.
And I'll be back. Like Oswaldo, I've been his sole form of income for the last 15 years. Can't pronounce my name, Adam. He calls me. Our governor cannot pronounce the name of the state that he governs over. Which yes. I would say, I really wonder how things in life work. Like, you know, when people go, they're going to say, hey, you're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner at the halftime of the NBA game, and they go in there and they don't know the words. Isn't there somebody in these people's camp that can pull them aside and explain to them, you're going to need to know the words to the song, or otherwise it's going to be very uncomfortable and you'll probably be on SportsCenter? Shouldn't somebody, a good friend of the governor's, pull them aside, get a Berlitz tape, get somebody, and sit down for an hour and go, California.
What the hell are you?
Just pull him aside. It'll take an hour. Couldn't you do it in an hour?
Yeah.
Don't you think if you didn't pronounce Dusseldorf correctly, and somebody pulled you aside and really said, here's how you do it, and you worked on it for an hour, and you said it 100 times. Don't you think you get the pronunciation of it down?
It seems to make sense, and in hindsight, I should have brought that up to him, but this was my brief exchange with him.
Dylan! You son of a bitch. What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
I think he confused me with somebody else, and I was intimidated by him. Anyway, some sad news. Former baseball star Dwight Gooden arrested yesterday in Florida. He violated his probation. He was doing the blow, and he admitted it. And even worse news, last night in his cell, he was raped by his new cellmate, Yanni.
Wow, Yanni raped Dwight Gooden.
That's right.
That's a feather in his cap.
Well, Yanni's hardcore. And in a little bit, we're going to have our blue ribbon panel of basketball prognosticators comprised of Rachel Perry, Canadian.
P-head.
Bill, the gay board op. And, of course, Ozzy, our movie reviewer. He's stepping out. He's also a basketball expert, apparently. But I say, you listen to me, because my picks are golden. And, listen, if you forget, I was 11-0 in the NFL playoffs this year. Here's a little refresher.
I know
on the postseason.
White, I know,
it's well documented.
Sorry.
And you'll be shocked to learn I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers to win outright. That was one of my picks, but I went 11-0 in the postseason. I did that, but it's the old hat. I mean, I'm sure you guys remember this back in the late 80s. It's 1989. Man, Alf was awesome last night, wasn't it? Anywho, I bet you in the Stanley Cup, the Calgary Flames will win the cup over the Montreal Canadiens.
Well, I was right. You were.
It was cool that we had that soundtrack, too. I forgot that we always had...
Always played the Miami Vice.
Yeah, the Miami Vice playing underneath. And then, of course, I mean, you know, that's... I mean, I had to do some research to even dig this one up. This was a while back. I don't know if you recall this.
Hey, it's 1957. Sorry I'm late. My Edsel broke down. Anyway, are we making picks on the fight this weekend? Okay, I'll tell you this much. I bet you Sugar Ray Robinson's going to lose to Carmen Basilio.
Wow.
And I was right.
Wow, the great Carmen Basilio.
That's right. And then, I don't know if you remember this. I mean, I've been pretty good at this for a long, long time.
It's 1912. Yeah, if I seem a little bummed out, I'm still kind of low about that whole thing with the Titanic. Not just the boat sinking, but also Leonardo DiCaprio stealing my old lady. I'm still kind of low. But anyway, you know what's going to boost my spirits is when William Howard Taft wins the presidency over Teddy Roosevelt. I bet you that happens.
And I was right.
Wow.
And then this one.
You're actually on the Titanic.
Yeah, well, you don't remember that. Wow, we've been together a long time.
Yeah, I guess it has been a while.
Yeah, I haven't brought
that
story up in a while.
Adam took some Ambien on that.
Yeah, I thought we met during the Lusitania disaster. I didn't know we went as far back as the Titanic.
Oh, no. We've been much longer even than that. As a matter of fact, kudos to our research department for digging up this clip. I didn't even know we were taping it back in.
It's the year 33, and hear me now, believe me later. That Jesus Christ may be down after that whole crucifixion thing, but I guarantee you have not seen the last of him.
It's weird, the Miami Vice thing.
Still back. Always popular.
Everything, it just goes to show that everything comes around. Like in the 80s, it was
It's like a song you didn't know was remade when you heard it.
Right.
Finding the earlier version of it and go, oh, you mean Pack It Up, I'll Take It by the Thunderbirds. That was remade? That's a Sam and Dave song.
Point is, I have a long, long track record of success. So listen to me when I make my picks when we do our Blue Ribbon panel in a little while.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Candice Michelle is coming in here. She's the GoDaddy girl, also WWE wrestler, and on the cover of this month's Playboy. One of her breasts bigger than the pea-headed Rachel Perry's cabeza. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. Today on the Adam Carolla Show, this month's sexy Playboy cover girl, Candice Michelle, will be in studio. Another round of the game that's sweeping the nation. Which weighs more?
Which weighs more, Big Tad or a baby African elephant?
From 2.5 Men, John Cryer's coming in. Oswaldo and Bill, the gay board op, make their March Madness picks. And as always, news and sports with Dave and the lovely Rachel Perry. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. If you want to talk to Candice Michelle, wrestler, GoDaddy.com, spokes gal, and also on the cover of this month's Playboy. Nice to meet you, Candice.
Nice to be here.
I was reading here that you were a former juggie from The Man Show, and I thought, I don't remember masturbating. I don't remember her, I thought. And then I realized, well, you must not have been there when I was there.
Yeah, but I actually did a bunch of skits when you were there. I don't know if you remember. I did that crying baby skit when you were there, where they put the guy in the airplane. He wanted to throw water on a crying baby or something.
Yeah, well, I was pretty ambient out during those 4 years. Kimmel was strung out on GHB, and I used to do ambient. I used to pop those things like popcorn shrimp all day. So I don't remember a goddamn thing. People tell me it's out on DVD. I could watch it and be delighted now.
Let me just tell you something. This is some woman.
This is a lot
this
of
This is
woman.
What a woman looks like. The only thing that I find offensive is that ring on your finger. Lose it for the interview.
Big ring.
What's up? Are you engaged?
I'm married.
Oh, you're married?
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
I bet you it's a poorly built studious type, yes?
No.
No? Always wrong about that.
Does he have a ponytail?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Does he shave his scrotum? This is where we may have to part ways. Is his scrotum tan?
No. Well, naturally, yeah.
Naturally, because he uses tanning cream on
it? No, because he's naturally tan.
Mm.
He's a man of color.
A brother?
Yeah, no. He's Japanese and German.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weird. War baby. Nice. Axis powers.
Germans got over to Japan.
I'll tell you. Either way, we're fighting them both. I'm saying, is he a wrestler?
No, he's a chiropractor.
Oh, what? So he's a muscle man.
A little bit. Really.
Yeah. All chiropractors lift weights because they're not real doctors, so they don't have time.
That's true.
They have a lot of extra
time.
They are
real doctors.
I brought him with you. I love a chiropractor.
Here's the thing. There's nothing. I don't want to offend Candice's man, but I don't want him to throw a karate chop on me or throw me in an oven. I'm guessing those are your choices, the two ways he could dispatch of you, knowing what I know about World War II. But I will say this. I've been to a chiropractor many times, and I have found, and again, no disrespect, but I think you should take that $100 and go get a nice rub down.
Sure.
Go get a nice massage. And then if you have a real problem, then you have to go to an orthopedic surgeon. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, defend chiropractic. It never really fixes the problem. I mean, if you just go get a massage, it doesn't put your misalignments back in line.
Better. I always feel better at the end of that.
Yeah, I think you need to do a combination. You need the combination. You need to relax the muscles, because if the muscles are tight, then they're going to pull things out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the alignment as well. But it's a maintenance process.
Mm. Okay.
But, I mean, your spine, it goes to every aspect of your entire body.
I disagree. Listen. I think it's overrated. People make a big deal out of the spine.
How did a chiropractor get you?
Yes.
How did that?
He worked on you.
Yes.
No. Actually, we met in a good old-fashioned club, the Key Club, when it was wild and crazy. And
wow. See, when you're a chiropractor, you have time for that.
God damn it.
What a gig, what a gig, though, being a chiropractor is. Hey, come on in there, sweetie. Come on in. Take your clothes off, would you? That'll be $200. you get good. Now, here's the whole thing, too. As a doctor, 80% of the people you look at are 80 years old. I mean, that's just the way it works. But as a chiropractor, you don't get the old farts going to the chiropractors. You get the good-looking young people that have injured themselves pole dancing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or on those stripper heels or something like that.
And then you get to rub all over them. Like, mm-hmm. are you sure your fingers go?
Yes, listen, I'm a professional. Please.
Do you not see the white lab coat? Please, is there more clothing you could take off? Take off that nicotine patch.
I've never met this guy. I definitely don't care.
I don't like him.
James, how did he get you?
All right, so you met him at the Key Club and you married the man.
Yeah.
And you're happily married?
Very.
Now, it's tough because you're on the road, right? You're doing the wrestling.
Uh-huh.
There's plenty of men throwing themselves at you.
Yeah, they don't really, I don't know if they throw themselves at me, but, you know, being on the road, it's a little tough, but, you know, it's my career, and he just supports me that, you know.
Where are you from originally? Where do you hail from?
I'm originally a Cheesehead from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Big Packers fan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was.
Yeah, until?
It's kind of fading away. I've been out here for 8 years, you kind of lose it a little bit.
Yeah, plus when they haven't been in the Super Bowl in 8.5 years.
Yeah.
You really start losing it.
She becomes more attractive all the time.
Do you like the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No. I'm so not that
I'm sorry. Dave won't have sex with you.
So I'm sorry.
No, that's...
Really?
We can get past
Wow.
This. We can get past
this. That is love. And what is your heritage? What's your nationality?
Costa Rican and German.
Exotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that a mutt.
Yeah.
You know, it's genetic diversity makes for the strongest genes. It's a great mixture.
Thank you.
Got the beautiful dark skin.
Thank you.
But you got the German smarts. Diabolical. Yes?
I like to think so.
So if you had a kid with the chiropractor who shaves
it'd
the
really
scrotum,
be a mutt, yeah.
I don't know why a man who's married needs to do that. Do you insist on it?
Well, I mean, if you want me to keep clean down there, you better keep clean down there, too.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to keep clean down there for me, baby.
Actually, Dave
we'll
likes
dirty.
It that way.
It'll be real dirty.
Yeah. He'll roll up his sleeves and get his hands dirty every once in a while. Dave's the kind of guy who likes wearing a collar, but rolling up his sleeves. I don't know why, but I've always wanted to use that.
I like it.
All right. I think we're going to take a break. Where the hell are we? Running late? Candace Michelle here. The wrestling's coming back, by the way, to NBC Primetime this Saturday. We'll talk to her about that.
I got some questions I want to ask both of you and the two of you. See how you respond to the Playboy interview thing.
All right. Yo, the turn-ons, turn-offs,
right,
all that stuff.
You both
still
respond.
Doing
that's
that.
That's not mine.
Yeah, but...
I'm cheating on you, baby. You jealous?
Yeah, I am, actually.
All right, you two. You're making me sick.
Sorry.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Candace Michelle here, professional wrestler, GoDaddy.com, beautiful GoDaddy.com girl. GoDaddy is one of the many ads I see where I have no idea. I mean, it's delightful to see you in various stages of undress, but I have no idea what the company is. And I realize I don't know what half the commercials I see are, and it's not their fault. It's just I'm stupid. It's a lot of these business commercials. Where it's like, MitroSax helps turbocharge your business. And I'm like, I have no idea. Are they an accounting firm? What do they consult? What do you do? Who picks up the phone? They run them during the Super Bowl, but what are they? I think they may just be fronts. You know, they're like stores you've never went into. What is that? What do they sell? I don't know. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to the one I know.
She's also, of course, this lovely Candace Michelle in the new Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say, what
on
a surreal
cover.
Experience. What a surreal experience to leaf through her pictures in various states of undress. Nudity.
She's nude
and she sits next to me. I say this, if you are, touched yourself, played with yourself to this particular issue of Playboy, please call in.
All right.
ASAP. We have a fun prize
for
you.
Let me get on the phone here.
No, people listening, yeah.
Oh, you want people to call into the show?
I think that would be uncomfortable.
Okay, well, clarify it next
time. Okay, I'm sorry, my fault.
Okay. All right, I didn't know. Yeah, I've had this happen. It used to happen on Loveline. We'd have somebody in. I'd have the Playboy, and I had too much dignity and decorum and too much couth to break it open in front of the actual
person.
Not
this dude.
You don't mind, Candace? You're not embarrassed? So you don't mind, not uncomfortable?
No, I mean, everybody's going to see it anyways. So.
Right.
Do you like me looking at you?
That is a weird question.
Makes me blush a little.
I got her.
Here's
the
thing. When you look great naked, there's really nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean, let's face it. Let's be very honest, men and women alike. If you were on a beach somewhere in Europe, and the paparazzi was up in the hills and the shrubs, and they had the long distance lens, and they took a picture of you, and you were there sunbathing in the nude, but as a male, you had the six-pack abs and just the right amount of chub going downstairs where it didn't look like you had a boner, but you were much bigger than your natural flaccid state. All right. I mean, so be it. Right? And if you're a woman and you catch yourself in a picture, again, same scenario, sunbathing, and you're sitting up and your breasts look perky and your ass looks tight, you're all right with it, right?
Yeah.
No big deal.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's when you have the dimples in the ass and the little chapstick between your legs after just getting out of the cold Mediterranean. That's when you have a problem with nudity. That's when you have a problem with the person who took the picture, right?
I agree.
Let's be honest.
I agree.
If you look hot naked, then it's not embarrassing.
Now, Candace Michelle, mm-hmm. You're some woman, and it's only a matter of time before you are, in fact, the centerfold. You're on the cover, but you're not the centerfold. It's only a matter of time before you then have to answer the questions, you know, the Q&A that they do with the centerfold girls. And Ace, I'd be interested to hear your answers on these as well. Maybe you could help her, because you're going to have to do this probably within the next year or so.
Okay.
All right. First question is, we'll skip
is
all the nonsense.
Is he answering first or am I?
No,
you answer, and maybe Ace can help you out if you wherever you go astray.
Okay.
Ambitions.
To star in a feature film.
F A-list celebrity.
Yeah. No, I was talking Skinamax, actually.
Oh, yeah, really?
I was just kidding.
I saw here you were in Hotel Erotica.
Yeah, I'm famous for that one.
Yeah, I've seen that many times. Are you in the Cabo one?
No.
The ones I see all seem to take place in Mexico somewhere.
Yeah, no, this one, we filmed it in Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it supposed to be in Mexico?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think
I love that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, why read the script? Take your bra off.
That's pretty much
let's
what
go.
Happened.
Gotta watch that.
All right, let's move on.
Sorry.
Turn-ons.
Confidence and a nice smile.
Oh, stop it. Correct. That is incorrect.
Guys who dip and beat their pets. Just please put that. Someone have the huevos or the sense of humor to put that on there. I like a guy who chews tobacco and kicks his dog around the apartment.
Wait a second. Let me ask you something. Confidence and a nice smile.
Yeah, seriously.
That's it.
And a clean scrotum.
Yeah, I like that too.
Tan and clean. Yeah, looking like a brown peach.
Right. But,
ew.
So. So if I'm a cocky 338-pound man with a nice smile, you'll go my way.
No, I don't like cockiness, just confidence.
Confident.
Yeah.
Ace, you gave your answer. So you're happy so far with her responses? Provide her counsel. Let me say this.
I've read enough Playboy to know that they always do. Here's the turn-ons, the turn-offs. You know, it's always mean people and smokers are always the mean or the people that turn them off. And then the turn-ons are always the things you can't measure. It's the nice eyes. It's the sense of humor. Thank God you didn't do the sense of humor, did you?
No, but you know, seriously, like I dated this guy who was really hot one time, and he had,
hold on,
like,
stop the presses. You dated a good-looking guy?
Only one time.
He was like, you know, like to die for when you looked at him, but he had no personality, he had no sense of humor, he was boring. I couldn't even stand being with him. He looked in the mirror all day long.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not just about the looks, it's like you got to be able to entertain
so you broke,
a little bit.
Did you break up with him?
Yeah, I couldn't handle it.
What's the chiropractor look like? Your husband?
Oh, he's hot, he's exotic. I like exotic looking.
Sense of humor?
Yeah. He thinks he does anyways.
All right. All right.
Let's move on to the next one.
All right.
Turn offs.
Mm.
Arrogance. Cockiness.
Yeah, you don't like that?
No.
That's it. That's the only turn off you can think of.
Nothing physical.
Murderer.
Yeah, how about that?
Maybe like that's child molester. Yeah, I don't really go for that, really.
Ace?
Guys with unlanced carbuncles. It's specific. It's medical. It's like if you had a huge boil and you didn't lance it. You know, that would be a turn off.
I see. All right, one more here. Two more. Singer I admire. Be interested to know this from you.
I think he's more of a rapper, but I admire Eminem.
Eminem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he really lays it out there. He's not afraid of it, and I think he's really talented in what he does.
And he's confident and has a nice smile.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have a mole that he needs lanced off.
It's pretty clear cut for me. Savage Garden.
All right, and quickly.
Don't ask me to defend it. That's my band.
Candace, if you had more time, you would?
I would hang out here with you guys all morning.
Wow. I would hang out with Candace's boobs all morning. Thank you.
All right, so that's some advice for you. Hopefully you got from Ace. When you get to actually fill this out.
We need to take ourselves a little break. Candy, you're going to hang around. You don't mind me calling you that?
No, not at all.
We're going to have to ask you to rank the guys when we come back. Well, there's Mike over there. There's Jimmy Brusca to your right. That's, of course, Dave Damashek, who was spoon-feeding you the answers.
And if you've touched yourself to this magazine, to this Playboy issue, please call in ASAP. All right.
Let's see. What's our number?
No. I thought we went over. No, it's okay. Caller, listeners.
Okay. All right. Just make it clear next time. What do we got? A little SG?
Oof.
As I call them. Why name yourself after a gay bar? Really? Aren't there other members of Savage Garden other than the guy who came up with the title that could have poo-pooed
it? Dudes, you know? I got the name. Savage Garden. Are you high, Rick? Get the F out of this garage and don't come back until you have something decent.
How does that pitch session work? I'm going to name our band. What do you want? Let's call ourselves Narthex. No. How about Thunder Road? No. Savage Garden. Great. Let's do it. Get the stationery printed up. I'll get the silk jackets. Yes. It's not the one guy that had the bad idea. It's the four other guys that went along with it.
Yes.
This is my same. I have the same problem with Hitler, by the way. There's always one madman. It's the rest of the people that go, okay. Yeah, round them up. That's a good idea.
Just as people who stand by and do nothing about watching rape, these are the same people who
that's
should be
right, right. They should be
convicted.
Prosecuted
yes.
For calling the band Savage Garden. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with Candy after this.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin. And God darn it, you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Ask Jesus for forgiveness.
Yeah, I love this Bad Religion song. It's got a good beginning. It just kicks in.
Bad Religion's good.
Yeah. As it turns out, ironically, Candace Michelle.
Finally a band we can agree on.
Yeah. Candace Michelle in studio. Well, you like Savage Garden.
That's true.
Engineer Lynch mentioned, I said during the commercial, I said, now, is this band, is Savage Garden, we went out with a Savage Garden song. I said, are they gay? And he said, no, but after listening to their own music, they turn gay. And I thought, yeah, that could have done it. It'd be very ironic if you weren't gay, but you cut a record and it turned you gay. Could have happened to Savage Garden. Let's see. What were we talking about with Candy? Well, we're going to play a little Germany or Florida.
Turn-ons and turn-offs is what we were talking about.
She has some German heritage to her. So does her man, who we don't like to talk about. Also, Mike is on the line. Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
What's up, Mike?
Not too much. I just wanted to get a chance to speak with Candace for a second. I think we might know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we know each other from?
You're from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Did you used to work at a club somewhere in the L.A. area?
We'll go with yes.
I did. I waitressed at Dublin's on Sunset for like 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you're thinking of a book club? What are you thinking of, Mike?
Well, I mean, I don't want to just come out and...
Well, you think you may have met her at a club. What kind of club?
She used to dance at a club.
I see. What was the name of the club?
Well, I danced at Fantasy Island, but it was a bikini bar for like a couple weeks.
Really?
There?
Fantasy Island was the name of my bunk bed.
That wouldn't happen to be the club.
Another one.
I think this one's suggesting he took it home to a private party, yes?
Or he just got a lap dance?
I'll mention the club.
Give me the name of the club. Bob's Classy Lady. That's my favorite club name. We'll decide whether the ladies are classy or not. Thank you, Bob. You don't have to put it right on there.
It would have been the Bear Elegance.
Bear Elegance.
No, not me.
They spell it B-E-A-R?
B-A-R-E.
Oh, okay. Would have been funny. I don't know why.
All right.
I must have grizzly when you go in there.
Yeah. I must have her confused with someone else.
Well,
sorry.
It's easy to do.
That's all right.
Never danced at Bear Elegance.
No.
But what was the name of the club? You're right?
Fantasy Island, I think that's what it's called.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And it was just a bikini bar.
Yeah, it's like you walk around in a bikini. It's not really...
I'm down with that. You sure? Top never came off?
No.
So you danced in a bikini.
Yeah.
It's a weird move.
It's like flash dance from your native Pittsburgh. Yeah. There used to be a place called Hollywood A-Go-Go, which was ironically out in deep North Hollywood, that had... it was a bikini bar. You get pitchers of beer and chicks would dance around bikinis. It was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Hmm.
Not exactly a strip club, but you could go there during the daylight hours.
It's like a spring break experience.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to, where are we?
Did you have like in flash dance? Remember it? I always like in flash dance that all the girls have elaborate dance routines as though this is what goes on at strip clubs. It's not just the pole in flash dance. They have these big setups with buckets of water hung on it. They have an entire tech crew working on their thing, dumping water on them. Do you have that sort of deal?
Because no, that's what guys go there for. I wish it was that exciting.
No?
Yeah, that's why it didn't last very long.
I know. The reality is you go to the strip club and the chick's just up there barely moving and talking on a cell phone. With her eyes rolled behind her head. Jeff?
Hey, Adam. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Bigger fan of Candace, though.
Yeah, me too.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, Candace? I've been loving you ever since that GoDaddy commercial, and I must say I've been loving this Playboy spread a little bit more.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah,
There's nothing better for a guy than seeing a commercial with a beautiful woman and then finding her naked in the pages of Playboy a month and a half later. That is great for a guy.
Imagine, I'll do you one better. I'm looking at the pages, and then I look up from the pages, and I see her in flesh and blood, looking at me, gazing at me.
Yeah.
Lost in my eyes.
Yeah, lost in your eyes. Jeff, so you're a big fan?
Big fan, I must say I have pledged myself a few times to this spread in the magazine.
Do you like that, Candace?
That's kind of a tricky question.
It's disgusting,
I
right?
I guess it's kind of flattering.
Yeah?
How could you not see this flattering? You're beautiful.
Thank you.
It's what you're doing to it that she doesn't see this flattering.
Maybe talking about it is a little weird.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I really think that women's minds and men's minds are so far apart that we just, I don't think when a woman sits down and poses that she realizes this is going to be 80% of the foot traffic that goes through there is going to be pleasuring themselves to her likeness. And if they did, it might freak them out.
I think I speak for all the fellas in here. The thought of a woman going home and fantasizing about me is
uncomfortable.
Is okay. No, I'm all right with it. Oh. I'm all right with it.
Well, no confirmed people to
we
this.
We should have
right?
people call in and see.
Yeah, have you ever
call
masturbated, Dave Damashek? and other than Mo, his mother.
Oh,
well,
that just
she loves
strike.
Her son.
Strike.
All right. Let's play a little Germany or Florida, shall we? Oh, we also want to rank the guys. Wow.
I have a, I don't know. I have a take on Germany or Florida today. I have two stories.
Oh, you do? Because we have a call
Then take your call.
Well, the only reason I'm saying that is because I want you to play along. And if you have the stories, then you won't be able to do
it. All right, then.
Now, here's how the game goes, Candy. And then you can rank the men after this. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. And I'm not talking about your garden variety murders, but I'm talking about cutting a guy's genitalia off and boiling it and eating it with a nice hickory sauce. These are all the things, all the bizarre macabre stories of the world emanate from either Germany or Florida. So we'll hear the story and then we have to guess.
Okay.
Is it Germany or Florida?
Germany or Florida?
Steve?
Hey, good morning, Adam.
Give us the story, brother.
Hey, can I just add real quick? I have been to Fantasy Island, West LA, down there on Pico, and those bikinis come off. You just got to go back to the VIP or the champagne room.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about, Candace? The champagne room there?
Yes, Candace, do you know what he's talking about?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't really go back there.
She's been to the champagne room. I'll take you to the champagne room. It's equivalent to the woodshed your father would take you to for a good beating.
I think that might be behind the building, not really the champagne room.
I'll take you behind the champagne room. Yeah. We'll pop your cork. I'll ice you down
with good. Basement, maybe.
Any more metaphors?
I'll tell you, I got a vintage right here that's ready to go. Circa 2006, a great vintage. All right. I'll clean out your wine cellar. All right, let's go.
Okay, here we go. A woman thought her husband was returning home when she pulled her car. Excuse me. Can I start over here?
Sure.
A woman thought her husband was returning home when she heard a car pull into her garage. Mm-hmm. Shortly thereafter, a naked stranger walked into the house and asked for a person she'd never heard of. When she demanded that the intruder leave, the man attacked her. The woman managed to defend herself with a pair of scissors, and the intruder fled the home. He didn't get far, though. After the victim called police, the intruder was arrested as he loitered nearby, still nude. Police found nearly 36 pornographic videos in his car, which was still parked in the victim's garage.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, so creepy, nude, porno, peeping Tom. Germany or Florida? This is a tough one. Could have happened any place.
This is completely illogical, but I'm going to go with Florida because for some reason I don't imagine there being a lot of garages in Germany. Maybe that's not true. Doesn't seem right to me.
Well, they do love their automobiles, their Porsches and their Audis and their Autobahns.
And their porn.
Porn.
But I would bet, here's the thing, I bet you they have a different name for garage.
Uh-huh.
You know? They don't call it that. I bet you the
champagne
article.
Champagne room. Das Champagne Room.
Which you promised to take me out behind after the show,
we'll
right?
Yeah, take you behind there.
You were talking to me, yes?
Yes, I was. All right, so you're going
Florida. I'm going
Florida. Rachel Perry, how say you?
Yeah, I'm going Florida, too. Same reasoning.
Candy?
You know what? I think Florida. I see guys running around naked a little bit more there.
Really? Yeah, warm weather. Good point. Yeah, it is a better climate for walking around naked. I'm going to go Germany just to break it up. So we have three Floridas, one Germany. Steve, is it Germany or Florida?
It is Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes.
All right.
I'm on some hot streak with this, by the way. I don't miss much.
No, you really don't.
Speaking of naked people running around, I see a naked woman running around on the pages of Playboy, and her name is Candace Michelle.
Ooh, speaking of Candace, so how about it? Can you rank the guys that are here in the studio? Go worst to best. Start at the bottom with Big Tad. Work your way up to me at the top. But don't let me influence you.
It's pity if it's if you're anything other than
Shut
the bottom of
your mouth,
then it's
you
pity.
Ugly. I'm the WWE fan, by the way.
Yeah,
keep it real.
He's a big fan of wrestling. Now be cruel. Don't be scared to be cruel.
Okay. Well, I forget his name, but he hasn't really said much since
Mike?
He's been here.
Mike Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. He's got to speak up a little bit more. He hasn't really been
entertaining. He's not confident.
I guess, no confident. All right. So you're putting Mike at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel bad doing this. Wow.
That's all right. He's used to it.
And be brutal. Be honest.
Then I'd have to go with
Brusca?
Brusca.
Jimmy Brusca, producer Brusca.
Why?
He's really professional. I think he needs to, like, take his shirt off or something.
Well, I will then.
Yeah.
Oh, woo, please.
Do it.
No.
Don't joke.
You go second.
Okay.
Hey?
I like where your head's at.
I have my undershirt off as well.
Hey, I'll take mine off too.
No, Jimmy's really taking his shirt off.
Wow. He's got the wife beater with the beer stains on it.
I wasn't expecting to be wearing a shirt under
yellow armpits, V-neck.
That's a classy look. When did that go out? In the late 40s?
Yeah. Oh, you got to take the headphones off.
Jesus, Brusco.
Nice.
Wow, that's hot.
You
move up. Wow.
Quid pro quo, though. Candy.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I think it's Latin for take your top off.
Well, all right, so
she's gonna do it. Be
no looking.
I'm sorry.
No
I
looking.
About the rankings at this point.
Really she's wearing a corset here.
It's it's really hard to get off.
I didn't tell her to put that on.
Yeah, it's really tricky.
I wish Brusca was wearing a corset. With that gut in.
Okay, let's see. Next, Adam, I don't know really about the turn on with the dip thing. That's kind of
really?
Harsh. Yeah.
Put me number three. So because I talked about dipping.
This is now Candy, before you go any further, let me just say, this is who you would like to bed down with. This is who you would like to share a bed with. Mm-hmm. Make time with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, cool.
You're really going to go with Corolla?
Definitely at the top.
See,
you're really? All right. Everybody finds Rachel up at the peak of Coy Hill. Be honest now.
Well, no, hold on
a
second.
This isn't Coy Hill. This is Bang Hill.
You put Rachel at the top.
Yeah.
Have you been with a lady before?
Not fully, but...
A little making out?
Yeah. I don't mind a little making out here and there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I'm cool with that.
So, Rachel.
Now it's between me and Dave.
So, wait a second. But Corolla is underneath Tad.
Wait, you were bitching a couple days ago about him beating you all the time. Why don't you just let it go?
Well, I don't know how valid these rankings are if you're ahead of anybody on the list. Anyway.
Yeah.
Next,
Dave, don't bring up the ice.
Yeah, you know, I think I want to put him up.
Big
Yeah.
Ten.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, number one. We're not going to have a straight answer, obviously.
No, I like the tattoos there, and he's a big wrestling fan, and, you know what? He thought I was going to be a good girl on the show, and I'm pretty freaking bad. So.
She is a bad girl.
Yeah.
Very bad girl.
Well, here's that corset, by the way, speaking of bad.
Yeah, you started to undo it there, and then
it's
going to take her a little while.
You got it all the way off in there, you know. That's better.
In the magazine.
Yeah, in the magazine.
Candace, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do it.
Thanks, Dad.
You're beautiful just the way you are.
And your prize for putting him atop your rankings, you actually get to share a bed with him now, so congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm disgusted. So does that make Dave Damashek number one?
No, she decided to put Tad number one.
Well, where would you come
Rachel,
in then?
Rachel was actually
number one.
Yeah. I'm number two.
But I'll give Tad number one, I mean, because I have to back out because I just keep winning this contest. It's not really fair.
You're pulling yourself out of the competition.
Yeah.
At least I finally win something.
You're not gonna
retired.
Not going to go to the furry champagne room.
Yeah, I've retired.
Of candies. All right. Well, thank you. I'm disgusted at the three of you. Candy, Michelle, thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
we
got to
take ourselves a break. The NBC is coming back to the prime time in the wrestling. That's coming up this Saturday, right? 8 o'clock?
Yeah, we're actually going to do some promoting of it tonight at Universal City Walk. We're going to be signing out there.
That's right. 6 o'clock out here at Universal City Walk. Go down there, and Candy will sign anything you bring, yes?
Yes.
What a woman.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take a break. Dear friend and former neighbor, John Cryer, in here, and we'll talk to him after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad. Still more Adam Carolla Show coming up. John Cryer from 2.5 Men will stop in. Plus, Oswaldo reviews his classic performance as Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Bless this reviewer, Carl.
Our college hoop experts, Oswaldo and Bill the Gay Board Op, make their March Madness picks. Plus, Rachel and Dave with news and sports, all coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dear friend, John Cryer in studio, former neighbor, former lover. John, I was talking earlier about going to the premiere party of Pretty in Pink, getting loaded and having the hijinks ensue. I think I saw you there, obviously. I was too scared to come up and talk to you at the time.
Yes, I'm very frightening in person.
He's intimidating. He's a much bigger man than you would think.
He's been juicing.
He shakes your hand, you fall, you crumble to your knees. Is that a blowhardy move? The guy who tries to do the real Action Jackson, your kung fu grip with the handshake just to try to win just a little dominance over whoever he's... You know that guy, that J.O.?
That's me.
Yeah, guy shakes your hand than he needs to, so you think he's a powerful man.
Gene Simmons. Why do you... He crushed my hand to the point where I said something, and it's like, what do you... I weigh 108 pounds.
That's
why
right.
Why do you got to crush my
you
hand?
You will be mine.
Such a weirdo.
Then there's this guy. I met this guy a week and a half ago. He's the guy who does his own handshake, shakes your hand, flips it over 90 degrees, and starts going sideways like we're sawing a tree down together in the turn of the century. Like, what is this? No, you go up and down, you jackass, not right to left.
I think that's a genuine innovation.
Is it?
I think he should be applauded.
Well.
But sideways applause.
How about a heads up? How about the guys who do the weirdo handshake give you a little heads up so you're not confused or thrown off balance when you get there? Because I will reel for the next hour. The person will be talking and I won't get their weirdo handshake out of my mind.
They should have a diagram of some kind.
Yeah, right. Just or a windbreaker made up like ATF guys wear. So we know when they come to our door, you're the weirdo handshake guy. You're either going to grab three of my fingers just around the cuticle and squeeze extra hard, or you're going to hang on a beat too long, or you're going to flip me over and turn me sideways and do it, or you're going to do the action grip. Which is it? Or the super sweaty palm.
Oh, that's a goodie. Oh.
See, people are fans of yours, and you get that, right?
You get the... But you don't want to say anything. Because, sweaty palms is now classified as, a disease.
Oh, you definitely.
And you could
get a full scholarship to any college you wanted. If you're part Cherokee and had a sweaty palm syndrome, you're getting to Harvard with a C average.
At any rate. But, no, what's tough about the sweat is that then they get clammy.
Yes.
Which is nasty.
They get a little nervous. They get a little whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, John Cryer. Two and a half. A ducky. I'm a huge fan. And you
splat.
Shake their hand. It's like grabbing a bar rag. And you think, why'd you shake my hand? Why didn't you just say, hey, huge fan, brother?
Yeah. Folks, you can wave. Just put it out there.
Do the Howie Mandel fist thing. even a light raping would be preferable to the sweaty, super sweaty palm.
But what constitutes a light raping?
I'll tell you when it gets heavy.
Okay, thanks,
you'll know.
Man.
Speaking of rape, John was my neighbor for many a year. I used to see him drag his poodle down the street.
Oh no! Okay, what
the hell kind of dog is that? Please tell me that's your ex-wife's dog.
That was my ex-wife's dog.
Thank you.
No, my favorite Adam Carolla moment was I used to have to walk the dog in the morning, not by choice. This was a thing that was foisted on me. And yes,
that's
exactly.
All I heard.
Exactly. Please just use that sound as much as you like.
That's all I heard when I saw poor John walking the toy poodle 5:30 in the morning in his slippers. By the way, we didn't even get dressed.
And my robe and
crazy
and my,
man.
Because my son always wanted to go with me, and my son was two at the time.
Right.
So my son would be sort of dangling off my shoulder. My robe would sort of flutter open, unfortunately for everybody in the neighborhood. I'd be holding this bag of warm dog poo, and at one point Adam came by in his new Nissan 300ZX or whatever and said, hey, how's married life treating you? Nice.
He tried to answer and I revved the engine.
Drove through a puddle, splashed him, and cackled as he drove off.
Lovely. Gave him a sweaty handshake and took off.
But I've moved on.
Yes.
Thank you, Adam.
Good. Now, is the ex still living in the house? She's still back there?
No. She moved down to Hermosa Beach.
You guys have sold.
Yes, we have sold.
And you know Kathy Bates used to live in that house.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
And when you're in Kathy Bates's ex-bedroom, a lot of magic took place.
Under that plaster.
Well, you say you've moved on now. I assume that that's thanks to Chaz Sheen, right?
Chaz. Yeah, Chaz hooked me up.
He brings the hulas around the set.
No, you know what? He doesn't. In fact, I was very disappointed. At one point, we went to Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to Vegas with Charlie Sheen. We went on a private jet in the whole nine yards because it was a thing. And we got to Vegas, and Charlie went to sleep.
Really?
He went,
oh, no.
He went to the hotel room, went to sleep.
Tired of effing on the plane. Passed out in the hotel room. Hold my beer, John. I got another stewardess to do.
So things have calmed down considerably for young Charlie Sheen.
Well, you know, he strikes me as a guy, and I think there's a lot of guys this way, and probably a lot of actors this way, where if you're a guy, there's no greater guy to hang out with. But if you're a girl, look out. Meaning, if you had a son and a daughter, you would definitely not want your daughter to date Charlie Sheen, but you would love it if your son befriended Charlie Sheen. That's a good time. He's a guy's guy.
He is a guy's guy, absolutely. And very loyal.
To who?
Well, to me, oddly, which is, maybe I don't count. I don't know. But no, and he, you know, I don't know. He and I have never, like, hit the town. We are, sort of dating period, did not coincide with his, divorce, unfortunately.
Well, what happened? What happened?
It's funny, too, because you guys are sort of cut out of the same macho cloth.
True.
You
yes,
know?
Exactly. Out for the same roles, I imagine, throughout your
all the time. Banging hookers, you're dragging toy poodles down the street in your slippers. Whip sound effect in the back.
Now, what happened there? What happened with Sheen and his old lady?
What happened with Sheen and his old lady? I don't know. I was kept out of the loop, I think, for the good of everybody. I don't know. You know, they're in many ways, they're just like a regular couple.
Too much alike. I like when people use that
they're
one.
Too pretty.
Really, if my wife loved watching TiVo and masturbating and flying model airplanes and NFL football, we would go on for 1,000 years. Too much alike.
No, you know, I don't know what happened. I mean, it was having two kids is very tough on people.
She's a little nutty.
She may well be. I barely got to know her. She did a couple of episodes of the show and was always very cool and
foxy,
very nice.
Though, right?
Oh, and excruciatingly foxy. Yeah.
She's not so he's not the sort of guy. You don't have a relationship with Sheen, with Chaz Sheen, doesn't call you up at 3:30 in the a.m. and like. He's sobbing, like, you know, John, I need to talk. Me and Denise are having another fight.
Every now and then he'd sort of confide that it wasn't going great. Because, you know, you're at work, and every now and then you just got to sort of go, you know, times are tough. But, like I said, you know, they went through some bad stuff, and I had a lot of, it's tough because every week something would come out in the tabloids about the guy that, you know, and he would say, it's not true. I got no reason to lie to you, you know. But she's got to see this in print all the time and feel like a fool,
yeah.
Even though he swears it's not true, and she's like, well, who am I gonna, you know, it's hard, you know, it's hard for her to place all of her faith in
believe my husband or should I believe a tabloid magazine?
Exactly. See, it's a quandary.
The problem is though, when the timing is right, where you were out of town on this particular weekend, and the guy asked for something or picked up his type, so you know his type, you know what he's looking for. That's the part when things start to line up and match. That's the trouble.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
fine if you were never in that city on that weekend. You're scot-free.
Yeah, you can blow it away and say, no, forget it. It's impossible. I couldn't have.
But, yeah. I would argue, though, if you do too much of that part, she's going to think you're lying, John.
You think so?
That could have been the problem in your marriage.
Yeah, but with them, it was like that weird email thing that happened that he apparently emailed her. And he was meant to be emailing a hooker or something.
Oh, jeez, that would be inopportune. You know, I didn't hear about that. I've said this many times.
The computer has become the man's diary, and we're getting screwed just like the women did for hundreds of years. Which is, women keep diaries, and at some point, their stepdad barges into the bedroom, opens it up, sees what their 17-year-old stepdaughter's up to. She smoked marijuana and got to 3rd base, and then they come home and they're outraged. And you, as guys, you always thought, why'd you write it down, you idiot? You should have never wrote it down. Now, I had this great idea for the decoy diary, whereas you had the one diary that was your your ticket to hell.
Yeah.
That's just the pages are stuck together. It's debauchery. You open it up and ghosts come flying out, and fire and brimstone and everything. That's all about pulling trains and making videos and stuff. And then the other one where it's like, I didn't study as hard for my Spanish finals. I probably should have and only got a B+.
The grade is one thing, but I let myself down.
Right. And my loving parents. And that's the one that you keep where they're going to find it. The other one you keep duct taped to the underside of the mattress and they never find that one. Once they find the decoy diary, they're off the hunt. They called off the dogs and they think it's cute. They never say anything. You just come home that day after they find the decoy diary and say, oh, we made your favorite meal for dinner just because. You little sweetie. Meanwhile, your ass is sore from the working over it got during nutrition that day at school.
From Charlie Sheen.
from Sheen and the entire rest of his family. All right. John Cryer in studio. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Ozzy, great Oswaldo, is going to come in here and do a little review. Turn the clock back and review Pretty in Pink. We'll do that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. John Cryer in studio, 2.5 Men, Monday nights, 9 o'clock, CBS, third magical season. Mazel tov to you, my friend.
Thank you.
And there's no nicer guy in show business than John Cryer.
Star of a million sitcoms. And now he's made it big.
Finally.
Finally, the long national nightmare is over.
Yes, he can live down that ducky boy. He can put it way back in his rearview mirror, except for Ozzy, who's going to review Pretty in Pink.
Why?
Well, Ozzy comes in, and Ozzy and I, you may have seen him at my house more than once. He was the guy who cut the hedge down too low so I could see your house, and
thanks.
You may have heard me yelling at him on my front lawn about 5 years back. But Ozzy and I have worked together swinging a hammer for many years, and when I made it in show business, I brought him in. Unlike you, John Cryer, I didn't turn my back on my past.
I pretty much dump all my friends.
That's what we're talking about during the break.
Great.
He spits on them and turns a deaf ear and a blind eye to their needs, but not me.
No.
Oswaldo has kids. He has mouths to feed. He has a flapsteak habit that runs about $400 a day that he's got to support. Thank you, Ozzy. You can see he's wearing my T-shirt from the Toyota Grand Prix from 2003. Yes. And you're now going to review Pretty in Pink for us.
Well, he didn't, you know, of course, he got to the country right about around the time the movie came out. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing, I'm not sure, but I bet you that wasn't on his list of things to do.
So he got around to it, finally.
Yes. Yeah, so Ozzy usually reviews new movies for us, but we thought since you were here, it'd be a treat for him to do Pretty in Pink.
Make it special.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Good morning. The movie time.
Good morning.
Okay.
We are reviewing It's Pretty in Pink.
What's the movie?
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink.
Yes.
All right. That's a sound your car makes when it's going up a hill.
This is star Molly Ringwald.
Mm-hmm.
It's Andy.
Mm-hmm.
John Cryer is here. Mm-hmm. It's lucky.
That's right. He is a lucky man.
Andrew McCarthy is Blaine.
Andy.
Hold on. Andrew?
Andrew.
If Andrew's listening, don't be upset. He can't pronounce my name. I've known him for 16 years. Ozzy, say my name.
Ace.
Okay, smart. Andrew McCarthy, yes.
Andrew McCarthy is Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Speyer is Steph.
He's a Steph. All right.
The field is based in college and the basic social and economic problem. Mm-hmm. And the historical rivalry between rich and poor teenage student.
I thought it was in high school.
It is in high school.
Yeah, the high school.
Yes. All right. But I love that it's about socioeconomic safety.
And also, where he's from, high school is college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to do the math.
In the end, you know, the triumph is the law.
You make it to the ninth grade, you're a doctor.
The what is the law?
In the end, the movie, the triumph is the law. The triumph.
The triumph is love.
Yeah.
It's love. Okay. Thank
Advanced
you.
Advanced translator.
Yeah.
Right.
So in the end of the movie, triumph is the love.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the field, Andy is the poor girl. We are wish to enjoy the prom party with somebody lovely. The rich
That's
guy,
everyone's wish.
Blaine, is her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And Steph is the other rich boy, and he's very bad.
I see.
He is very bad.
Yeah.
Since she is poor, Andy must make a hair dress for the prom.
Mm-hmm.
We dress from a friend and dress for the father brought it to her.
Mm-hmm.
She made a beautiful pink dress. That is the reason the movie is called Pink, Pretty in Pink.
It is. Yeah, it that's, is. Why. That's why it's called Pink, Pretty in
okay.
Pink.
My favorite part is when she goes to the prom alone. And she finds Ducky.
Oh, yeah. See, it crosses national borders. That's the beauty Harry part.
Harry the platonic, you know, guy, you know.
The lonely. Platonic, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And the entrance is ready to her date.
What happened?
Finding him, you know, in the entrance.
She find him at the entrance
ready
of the prom.
Ready to be, you know, her date.
Right.
When she, Ducky enter the prom, mm-hmm. She see her boyfriend, Blaine,
mm-hmm.
and Ducky release this thing belong together.
The Ducky, John Ducky, Cryer, yeah. over here, he yes. realizes that Blaine and her yeah. belong.
Ducky tell Andy to go have a good time.
Mm.
It's only one time, the prom party. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
In summation, Pretty and Pink. Let the reviewer call.
Wow, left you call. Yeah. I thought you liked
Thank
it.
Thank you. I know. Well,
sounded like he liked it, and then turns out it left him cold.
It's well, it has made him cynical, and All that's right. the sad part.
Wow.
But thank you. Thank you. It's true. It is about socioeconomic issues.
Yeah. No, it's race and class. It
and the triumph
all
of love.
Lines. Yeah. I love all 80s movies because their high school had 90% rich people and 10% poor people. And it was the job of the 90% rich people to make fun of the poor people for being poor.
Yeah.
That's how you did it.
It was also, there are a lot of 80s movies, too. You had the main guy, the main bad guy, who had his classmates, his peers, mm-hmm. were his henchmen. It was a lot of the time, yeah. a lot of like, take him outside and work him over, boys.
Hey, yeah.
What are you doing? What do I do? What am I beating? I have no beef with this guy.
I would have loved to have done that in high school. Chris, Ray, take this guy out, give him a good thrashing. Kiss my ass, Corolla. As a matter of fact, we're going to beat your ass now. That's how it normally would have worked. Not
take him out. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like you're some sort of Don from the Gambino crime syndicate or something when you're 17. Bucky, Beryl, take him outside, work him over.
Yeah, boss.
Sweep the leg.
All right, let's take a break. John, you're going to hang out with us?
I do have to go to work and do this show called Two and a Half Men.
Oh, really?
Yes. Shane is hungover. He won't be there till 3:30.
He'll roll in drunk at noon.
I hope so for his sake.
All right, one more break with us. Come on, we're former neighbors.
Okay, fine.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
This is Kyle Gass. You're listening to an American genius, Adam Carolla.
Thanks, Kyle. Dear friend, John Cryer in studio. Former neighbor.
Thank
dear
you.
Friend.
Thank you.
Current superstar.
Two and a half men. Monday nights.
Really, I've gotten too big for you, man.
Monday nights, 9 o'clock, CBS. John is nice enough to hang out for just a few more minutes with us. He has to be at work at 9:30. Now, let's see, what day is it? It's Wednesday. Do you guys tape on a Thursday or Friday?
Friday. Yeah, we pre-shoot some stuff on Thursday.
So you do like a table read Monday?
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, start
Wednesday,
blocking.
We rehearse and show it to the network and the studio. And then Thursday we pre-shoot some stuff, and then Friday we shoot in front of a live audience.
Long day today? What time do you get out of there?
No, today won't be bad. Today we'll probably be done at like 3:30, something like that.
Okay. So he's supposed to be there at 9:30, and it's going to be tight, so we'll hurry this along.
Just a bit. I can't hear the conversation over Ozzy's breathing.
Yeah.
No, he's laying the dramatic Darth Vader, you know, groundwork here.
That's right. Nicaraguan Darth Vader, as he is known. He took one of those tostada deep-fried baskets and painted it black and put it on his head for Halloween last year. It was delicious. You go cheap, but you go authentic. You keep it real, right, Ozzy?
Yeah, man.
All right, so he has no idea what I'm saying. Ozzy, we're excited to reenact a little scene from Two and a Half Men. Again, Monday nights, 9 o'clock, CBS. I am going to play Charlie Sheen. Ozzy, you're going to play Alan?
Yep.
No, you'll play Jake, the young child. And, of course, John will play Alan. Yes? So this is, now, what's the setup for this scene? A son draws a picture of a naked woman, naked woman's butt, and we have to sit down and talk to him as the parents.
Yes, and I've found him reading a magazine that I didn't expect that he would
have. I see. Reading. All right, so you'll be playing the young son. You ready?
You ready?
And scene.
Okay, here we go. What are you reading?
The Sport Illustrated, but a motherly lady in bathing suit.
Jake, come back here. Are you happy?
I have my moments, but they're becoming further and further apart.
Jake, sit down. Sit.
Are you in trouble?
No. It's perfectly natural for you to be interested in women's bodies.
Great. I'll be in my room.
Wait. Now, let's talk a minute here. I don't mind you looking at these pictures, but it's important that you know what they mean.
Ooh, I'd like to know, too, Alan.
Okay. First of all, real women don't look like this. These pictures have been retouched and airbrushed so that the women look like they're perfect, but they're really not.
Excuse me, but I met that one, and she was perfect.
Wait. I am trying to explain to Jake that this is not what regular women look like.
Then why don't they also regular woman?
Jake, you want to try that line one more time? Well, we call it a pickup in the business.
Yes. I guess not.
Hey, you were satisfied with your read?
Yeah.
You stand by it? I guess so. Okay. Because the only way regular women can sell magazines is door to door. Thank you.
There we go. Took them a minute. That's my point is that these women are three-dimensional human beings. They're not just sex objects.
Which explains why this one's on all fours in the surf.
Are you quite done?
No. I think you're being very unfair. These women worked very hard, ate very little, and spent a lot of money to become sex objects. Those breasts alone cost over $10,000.
You can buy these.
Wait a minute. Try it again.
Script coach yelling.
Hey, come
at
on, Azar.
One more time. Please don't bully the witness. Go ahead, Ozzy. Sorry. Hey, Ozzy.
You can buy these.
Ozzy, hold on, Ozzy. Hey, look, it's a scripted sitcom. There's no mystery there, but I want you to have fun with it.
Take some chances.
You know? Yeah, take some chances. Let me tell you something about John. John is a very giving actor. He's not going to let you down.
No.
You can go ahead and put yourself out there. He's not going to laugh at you or slap you in the face. All
think
right?
of this as your playground.
And you're courageous, so here we go.
Here we go. Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Some women choose to make their breasts larger with what's called surgical implants.
Why?
Well, they think bigger is better.
I can see that.
Well, I don't know the name of the kid, but he's in trouble.
Yeah,
this agent is listening. Move
he
over. Really, There's a new Nicaraguan sheriff in town. He's 50, he's fat, and he's gunning for you, son.
Now, what really matters, Jake, is what's inside a person. See, that's the lesson here. Do you get what I'm saying?
I think so.
You're sure? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean, do you have any questions?
Just one.
Fire away.
Can I have my magazine back?
Yes.
Yes.
Same.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Part of Jake was played by Oswaldo Castillo. Nice job. All right, John Cryer, thank you for being a sport and playing along. I know you
the
have
pleasure
to
was mine.
Run
the
to the studio mine. And make the magic. Yeah. Two and a Half Men, everyone. Monday nights, 9 o'clock, CBS. Enjoy it. Thank you again, John, and we hope to see you soon.
You shall.
And give me your number before you split. You don't have to give it on the air, but okay. You know, we were neighbors, and I feel like we both slipped away somewhere.
True.
And whatever we had, that part where I used to stand out in my bathrobe and laugh at you dragging your toy poodle down the street at 7 a.m., I miss those days.
It was a Boston Terrier.
What did that dog weigh? Under a pound?
No, it was wiry. It was small, but wiry.
When you put the leash on it, it used to fall over. That's all I remember, like a pinata. Legs sticking up.
Thump.
Thump. he had to use a hair leash. It had to be that light and woven from long hair. All right, John, go to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
We have some news. We have some sports. That's going to start right now. With Rachel Perry.
Bye-bye. So Saddam Hussein took the stand for the first time today during his war crimes trial. He said that the... it's interesting because, you know, he's been very, very... He's been using the court as sort of a political platform for himself. And so, mm-hmm. you know, later on during the trial today, the judge kicked everybody out so that they couldn't hear anything. But earlier today, he was actually a little bit... we saw a little bit of a softer side of Saddam, interestingly.
Look, I was going through some real heavy stuff back then. I was addicted to painkillers. Uday was stressing out in school because of his dyslexia. And I'm pretty sure my old lady was banging that dirtbag, Chemical Ali.
Wow.
Did I make mistakes? Sure I did. But as my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Wow, it's forsaken Allah.
We're
smart.
All the same.
They cannot judge.
No.
Listen, how many Kurds do you have to gas before we just go ahead and put you in the gas chamber? That's all. Let's just put him down. Let's stop it. Stop at the charade. He's a killer. Let's get rid of him. Can't we do all the stuff that people think we do, by the way? You know, when they find the inmate hanging in his cell, and they say, oh, yeah, right, he hung himself. Those were CIA covert ops guys, the black helicopter guys. They did it. All the conspiracy stuff. Why don't we just do it? I argue that stuff doesn't exist because it doesn't seem to happen enough. These guys sit in jail for years and years and years. They go to trials and trials and trials. If we really did do that stuff, wouldn't we just get rid of him? Wouldn't we do it if we did it? That's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't we do it if we did it?
I'm saying if wouldn't we were that, if let's say Bush was that evil, wouldn't he have planted weapons of mass destruction to find when we invaded Iraq?
It's an interesting point you make.
That's what I'm saying. If he was the liar that he is and in cahoots with everybody and everyone was bought and sold and all that kind of stuff, wouldn't he just planted something?
Yeah, movies well, often depict our government as evil and the hero, the American hero, has to overcome our evil government.
Yeah, I think we may be stupid. But right. If we were truly evil, he would be dead, and we would have found weapons of mass destruction.
But they're hard to hide in your pocket to slip out into someone else's pocket.
Like, I think we're too stupid to carry out our evil deeds.
That's the point.
Planning some speed.
A few barrels of some sort of sarin powder or something from some neighboring country buried out in the desert. And here we go. Nice photo op.
All right. So Michael Jackson's got one more day to find the $406,000 for the state of California because of all the not paying of his workers and not paying their insurance comp and all that sort of stuff. Nicolette Sheridan and Michael Bolton apparently are engaged now. And apparently Jack Black eloped with his girlfriend over the weekend. And interesting thing that I just found in a bizarre twist of irony, a woman has decided to sell her fame. Her 15 minutes of fame on eBay, but of course, in doing so, has basically received 15 minutes of fame.
She sold her fame.
Well, she's trying to. The opening bid is $500 for somebody's 15 minutes of fame. So you can go buy that if you like. And of course, American Idol, the final 12 last night.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've been pretty good so far. I know Dave has been is talking about his NCAA picks that are coming up. He's going to be talking about the Blue Ribbon panel. I myself have been very, very good at picking who's getting kicked out of Idol. This is going to be tough. Now they're doing one a week.
And it can be a male or a female now, right?
It can be a male or a female. It's a tough decision.
I got to tell you, Pickler did not show up.
No, she wasn't. And they, frankly, most of the people kind of like, it was Stevie Wonder night last night. Most of the people sort of sucked.
Call order. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, as a side note, I took in about 3 minutes. That was all I could stand of this retarded show last night.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say something to you. If you are a grown human being and you make a sign that says the name of an American Idol contestant on it and you take it to the show and wave it up over your head, kill yourself.
Please do that.
That's really, you really have gone off track here.
I disagree, Jack. I think you should kill your family and kill yourself because we don't want those genes carrying on. Yeah, if you take a piece of foam core, some glue, and some sprinkles and head on down to the Kodak Theater with the big pickler on it, it's time to put a bullet in your mouth.
Right.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't think that Kevin Kovas should go. He's the little kid that just looks so unbelievably nerdy.
Yeah.
He's that little, but he's actually not a bad singer. He's cute. He lisps a little when he's singing.
Yeah. He picked a horrible song to do.
Your part-time lover?
Yeah, it's a crappy Stevie Wonder song. Stevie Wonder's a genius, but everyone somehow got too coked up in the 80s and just crapped out a bunch of horrible songs.
It's just funny. Him, he thinks that he is the love. Like, he thinks he's like the sex object of American Idol this year. The weird thing is, apparently he's 16, he dumped his 15-year-old girlfriend before he went to American Idol because he thought he would gain more popularity with the chicks if everyone knew he was single.
I hear he's in a rough trade.
I don't know what that means.
I'll show you during the break.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I don't want him to be my pick, but... maybe I'm going to go with Melissa McGee because she forgot her lyrics. So that's who I picked to get kicked out. And anyway, that's it for me for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
The NFL has been turned on its ear. Nay, it's arm. The QBs are moving all over the place, to and fro across our great land. Drew Brees, San Diego Chargers, the marriage, over. Yesterday, Drew signed with the New Orleans Saints. As I said earlier, I think it's just as
Shouldn't
well.
Should it be to and from?
Why, I say to and fro?
It is fro, but what's fro?
When you're right, yeah.
Yeah, it should be to, going to somewhere, or from this place. Let's change it to two and from.
If it was toe and fro, that's an improvement.
Toe fro.
Yes.
Great frozen yogurt.
Now, I said before, but it's true. I think it's for the best that he goes and plays in that dome, assuming they get it fixed in New Orleans. I think he's safer there. He's got that gigantic mole on his cheek.
Yeah.
And that sun from Southern California, it's a melanoma waiting to happen. So best wishes.
Good point. He needs a dome.
Yes. Now, it's a big deal for also Matt Leinart because he was slated to be drafted by the Saints, but now that they have their QB, it looks like he's going to go to the Jets.
Heartbreaking.
I'm sure he's heartbroken that he's going to now have to go and reside in Manhattan instead of hurricane-ravaged Bayou. Yes, but our nation's Association of Pro Basketball Teams, they also played some games last night. Among them, Phoenix beat up on Seattle, and up in our state's capital, Sacramento, California. The Lakers lost to the Kings. The Kings now jump the Lakers for the seventh seed in the playoffs. Lakers, the Kobe's are only one game up now in the playoff race. They may not even get into the thing. Former baseball star Mike Gooden arrested yesterday for violating his probation. He was doing some blow. He confessed to his PO who turned him in. So now he's got to go to jail. He was in jail last night. And even worse news, last night he was raped in his jail cell by Yanni.
Wow.
Yes. And now, the Blue Ribbon panel is assembling for the NCAA predictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. That we have Rachel Perry, the Canadian woman. We have Bill, the gay board op. And we have Ozzy, the film reviewer. So,
yeah.
You know, if you are making your picks on your office pools, hold off for just a couple of minutes so you can hear from the experts on this. But one thing I have to go back to before we move on is, did you see the American Idol? Here's what I caught on it last night. I saw the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Jackson, you know, you figure, well, he doesn't can't have that little stable there for his dog pound anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Randy, you feel bad that you've lost your little dog pound from the last few weeks?
No, baby, the dog pound just got bigger. Look at all of this. Come on! Yeah! Yeah!
I come in here, I'm outraged. He has his dog pound, which he stole from Arsenio Hall. I've mentioned it before. Brusca gave me this stupid fish tank is the only thing he's given me. I say, hey, you got to at least give me a full aquarium, please. He gave me one lousy goldfish.
Really?
One lousy thing. I think that's lousy. How say you, fish tank?
Yeah.
They don't like it either. They don't like it either. They want some room to roam.
It's a strange
point. It doesn't
point.
Like it.
Yeah. Well, it'll get as big as the tank. That's what I've learned about goldfish. So if you ever let a goldfish go in the ocean, it'll be bigger than a sperm whale.
That's right.
That's what I'd like to see.
I'm not going to let it keep me down. In fact, I am going to rise like the phoenix and make my picks with the Blue Ribbon panel in just a moment.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
All right, we will take ourselves a break and then our locks for the NCAA tourney after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carell Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
First, or even second choice, but third. Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Woo! Get it on.
It's party time. You
it's
know
party
why?
Time.
It's March Madness.
That's right. I'm not even sure if we can say March Madness. It's been copywritten.
Oh.
That's true.
Yeah.
With all due respect,
you can't profit from it. That's the thing. We can't do a commercial for a restaurant and use March Madness in it because then we're profiting from March Madness. And like I said, how's it going, Ozzy? Good.
Obviously excited with that.
It's owned by like three entities, the name March Madness, and one of them is a high school.
I don't get it.
Well, it's sort of like Michael Buffer has Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Mm-hmm. He has copywritten that, and you can't use it, or if you do, you get tons of money.
Okay, but the thing is, like nobody said March Madness.
Oh, that's $100.
Yeah, but
Pat Riley has three-peat. I have Behymen, something that straight men have in their ass that could get burst possibly by board op bill. The point is if you mention
Ozzy has on.
Has on. Yeah, he has my name. On. They're all copywritten. If you use Behymen, March Madness, three-peat, then it's going to cost you.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
I'm telling you, Hooters approached Ozzy to use OWM in one of their campaigns, but it was just too much for him.
I mean, I get Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Like, that's like a catchphrase.
That's $100. That's now your $200 in. You want to shoot for three?
Well, the best is Donald Trump copywriting, you're fired. Yes.
Well, the best one was
well done, sir.
He should have copywritten Blowhard. That no court in the land would argue with him on that.
Well, Damon Wayans was trying to copyright Ninja, but the other, you know, with the two G's and not the NJ.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I told you about this a little while.
Yeah,
but you know,
that's
you were
right.
Probably high on Ambien. It's fine.
That's right. I don't remember.
But I think it got rejected. Actually, he's not allowed to.
I got Behymen, Shazbot, and here come the judge. Those are the
hey,
three I've
by the way,
written.
Before I forget to, in my sports, I failed to make mention of the fact that we have our big marathon tomorrow.
That's right. My beautiful, sexy assistant, Lindsay, who's a marathon runner, she runs. That's her hobby. It's a weird hobby.
Mm.
I asked her that when we first met. There's two things I asked her. I asked her what her dad did. She should. We got to talk to her about this because I thought her dad was gay for the first 6 months I worked with her. Because she's like, my dad, he's back in Connecticut. He's a florist. He owns a flower shop. Now he's divorced from my mom. Him and his partner own the shop. And I'm like, okay. Well, when you're talking about your dad getting divorced and having a partner and being a florist, it's like, okay. Listen, sweetie, enough. I've done the math. Turns out he's not.
Well, here's the thing. Before you get into this, Brusca is looking at his watch every 4 seconds.
All right. Let me just plug it correctly. She runs marathons. We're bringing a treadmill in here because the LA Marathon, something I put a pox on, by the way, is going to infest our city this Sunday. I think she can cover 26.2 miles a marathon in the 4 hours this show is on the air. Her best time is like a 3:30-something, 3:40-something. I'm not sure that Big Tad could cover two city blocks in that time. Head-to-head competition, they'll be gambling. Who covers more ground in the course of a show? When she gets to the marathon, we will stop and see what Big Tad covered on his treadmill which will be right next to hers. In a bit, we call dueling treadmills.
And they'll literally be facing head-to-head through our very window so we can watch them over the course of the day. It'll be exciting.
I mean, there's no question that Lindsay's going to go further than Tad.
No, the question is we'll gamble on the difference between how far she goes and how far he gets.
All right,
and that difference is what we'll gamble.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
She'll do 26.2. He'll, again, get to 10 feet. And then I'll have a coronary, and we'll bet on
and
it.
And we'll laugh.
All right. Let's now do our tourney pick.
Speaking
please.
Of gambling, listen, by the way, I just read in the New York Times that $3.6 billion will be lost by employees being too busy filling out their brackets and stealing off to sports bars to watch the first round of the NCAA rather than working. I am tired, for one, of Dickie V. and Digger, and so on and so forth on ESPN.
Digger, the fomite who climbs underneath your toenail and infests your blood, or Digger Phelps, the basketball analyst?
Those bug me. In this case, I'm talking about the green-jacketed Digger Phelps.
Okay, good.
Now, I've assembled my own blue ribbon panel to help you out there who are doing your office pools with your picks. Hold off. Let's hear what the experts think. I've brought in Ozzy, our movie reviewer. The Nicaraguan, Rachel Perry, a woman, a lovely woman, and a Canadian one.
No,
and Bill, the gay board op.
Pre-op board op, Bill. It's funnier that way. I know he's not transsexual.
And
but
it will be for a long time.
Yeah. All right. Well, technically, we're all pre-op, if you think about it.
All right. Get your pens ready. Take out your brackets. Let it begin. Atlanta region. We'll start there. The Southeast. Rachel Perry, how say you? Who do you have emerging from the Atlanta region?
Which? Oh, Atlanta.
Where it says Atlanta. Who have you written in there?
Should have highlighted it.
North?
You went with Northwestern State, the 14 seed.
Is that it? Northwestern? Yeah, that's what I went with.
Please highlight everyone's answer so we can move this along.
Considering that they're 14 seed, and I didn't know that there was a college named Northwestern State, this is a bold pick.
Yes.
Look, Digger and Dickie V did not make this pick.
I just want to say that I've won many a football. I'm the person wins the football pool.
We shall see here.
And this was all, I just guessed.
Shocker.
Bill, pre-op. Gay board op, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
How say you in the Atlanta region?
Who wins that whole bracket?
Who wins that bracket?
Duke, I have.
I have.
And why?
I have Duke because, well, I did it alphabetical on my picks, except for the number one and two
good
seed.
Reading.
They would automatically go up.
Fine
And then
reasoning.
I just did it alphabetical from there, and Duke won.
And that leaves Ozzy in the Atlanta region. How say you, Ozzy?
California.
And why?
UCLA.
UCLA, he wants.
Oh, well, that's not the Atlanta region. All right, very well.
Wrong region.
You have Cal, who, they're up north. But, okay. Now, let's move to the Oakland region. Rachel Perry, how say you?
Marquette?
Yes, and why?
Just because that's how it ended up. I went through all of them.
Their brand, the ball, appeals to you. You like Steve Novak, their 3-point ace?
Look, I just looked at all the things, whichever one stuck out. I wrote that one down. I narrowed it down.
Okay.
Bill.
I went with Memphis, because I got some cousins who lived in Memphis. All they ever did was play basketball. All they ever did was go to college and high school basketball games. And so I think they have a lock.
Analysis like that you shall not hear on ESPN.
That's
and
true.
Ozzy, in the Oakland region.
UCLA. UCLA.
That is a long name for a school. All right. Your reasons are your own. I assume you're just being a homer from L.A. on that one. Now, let's move on to our nation's
capital.
What
happened to Duke? What happened to Memphis?
LSU.
Okay. All right. Cleared that up.
Duh.
Okay, sorry.
All right. Our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Bill, the gay board op, how say you?
I have Tennessee, once again because of the Memphis and the Tennessee, and my cousins down in Tennessee. So
sounds like a good reason.
There you go.
Rachel Perry.
Albany.
Albany, you have them knocking off the favorite, the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing, UConn, in the first round. You think Albany, the 16 seed, becomes the first team seeded there to ever pull off the upset. And not only do that, with that momentum, run all the way to the Final Four.
That's right.
Yeah.
Stands by.
She believes in momentum. All right. And Ozzy, that leaves you.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yes. a beautiful woman, and a wonderful basketball team. And now, to Minneapolis we travel. Ozzy, what do you say there?
Nevada.
Nevada. Mm-hmm. Yes, not UNLV, the winners of many national but
you're going Nevada.
Nevada.
Yep. Smart.
Upset pick. Why so? Why, yeah. What made you choose them?
I make a number, you know, I take Nevada.
You can't argue with that
That's
kind
true.
Of strategy.
That's true. I think he's making some allusion to the only thing that matters is the final score.
Right.
Is that what he's talking about when
I
he says number?
I think that's what he meant. Yeah,
all right, build
the
game board up.
I took Villanova.
Villanova. All right, mm-hmm. That's a sound pick, a number one seed. And finally, Rachel Perry.
Iowa,
and why?
Are they in there?
Just because, like I said, I just...
You mean Ohio?
I just picked. Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
You can't beat good, solid guessing.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now let's go around the room. Blue ribbon panel. Who wins it all? All the marbles. Bill the gay board up.
Memphis. And you can put some money on it. Memphis.
You're encouraging that. You're putting... what are you wagering?
5 cents with my father.
Perfect. All right. Rachel Perry. How say you?
Marquette.
And why?
Just that's how it turned out.
Okay, good.
You should write a book.
And Ozzy, finally.
UCLA and Nevada.
What?
UCLA. UCLA.
UCLA.
UCLA.
And why do you pick UCLA? Why UCLA?
I live in California.
All right.
And
you didn't know it was UCLA.
UCLA.
You thought it was UCLA.
UCLA.
All right. Well, listen, when you move to this great country of ours, USA.
Well, there you have it. I mean, like differing opinions. And the worst part about it is I'm more confused than ever now because they all made such powerful arguments for why they choose these teams. What am I to do now? My head's spinning.
You should all be attorneys who do nothing but pick basketball games.
Why do you pick that? Because...
All right. But yet the temp who's working as a receptionist ends up winning the pool every year. And that's the lesson.
And now what counts, very quickly, let me say this.
Oh, please.
Listen, time for nonsense is over. Here's the truth. 11-0, I went in the NFL playoffs. I shall now give you my picks.
Oh,
Duke from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
UConn from Washington, from Minneapolis, Villanova, and from the Oakland region. A team that hails...
Right here?
UCLA? No. They play in a city that is where the Allegheny and Monongahela converge to form the mighty Ohio River. I'm speaking of the Pitt Panthers. They shall advance.
Wow.
They will beat Duke to go to the finals to play UConn. Sadly, UConn will have too much for Pitt, and UConn will emerge as your national champion of '06.
All right.
Book it.
Anybody can pick the top seeds.
All right. Here we go now. Let's wrap it up,
That's
everybody.
It.
We are going to do a quick round when we come back of Which Weighs More. That's the game where Big Tad gets on the scale. We bring up inanimate objects, and we figure out which weighs more, a pool table or Big Tad. If somebody wants to play along, they can win themselves $75 worth of Quiznos, which is really like $7,500 worth of any other sub sandwich. So give us a call, play along, and we'll do it after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Oh, just moments left in the show. Just enough time to play a very quick version of Which Weighs More. Big Tad's current weight, 323. I'm going to play for Craig. Craig?
Yes, sir. Hi, Adam.
I'm playing for you, brother. $75 worth of Quiznos sandwiches. Unclear if it's multiple sandwiches or one huge $75 one, but I'll let you sort that out with the good people from Quiznos. Chris?
Yes.
Beautiful Rachel Perry will be playing for you. Let's now get started in a very quick version of Which Weighs More.
Which Weighs More?
It's time to play Which Weighs More. The game where you decide which weighs more, Big Tad or various large items. Tad's present weight, 323 pounds.
Yay.
Craig or Chris, you could win a $75 Quiznos gift certificate.
Yay.
Let's go, baby.
Here we go.
Which weighs more, Big Tad or 10 four-valve marching band tubas?
Wow.
10 four-valve marching band tubas. Mm. I'm going with Tad.
There you go with Tad. Wow. I'll go tuba.
Tad. Yes. Tubas weigh 250 pounds.
Always a safe bet.
Yeah.
With the fat man.
All right, one more. We could tie.
Okay.
Or the great Rachel Perry could win.
Which weighs more? Tad. Or the Mars rover?
Wow. Interesting.
On Mars or on Earth?
It's a good point.
On Earth.
The gravity fields are much different.
Oh, I'm going with the rover.
Yeah, rover.
If it was the planet Mars, then there'd be a rivalry.
I'm going Big Tad.
It's the rover.
Yes!
408 pounds.
Wow. I'm going to enact the slaughter rule. It's over. This is like Little League when your kid's team's getting beat 11 to nothing in the third. Chris?
Hello?
Yes. You just earned yourself $75 worth of Quiznos.
Awesome job, Rachel.
You're welcome.
All right. Hang on. We'll play a longer version of this tomorrow. We're just plumb out of time. I want to thank John Cryer for coming in and doing a great job. Two and a Half Men, Monday nights, 9 o'clock, CBS. Do not miss. Candy, as I call her, Candice Michelle. She's going to be signing up at the Universal City Walk tonight at 6 o'clock. And, of course, the Oz Man, the man that thinks through his nose, Oswaldo Castillo, my main man. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.